At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
All right, back at it on a wet and wild Wednesday. Rothman and Ice, Anthony Rothman, Matty Ice Hayes, and CB. Boys, how we feeling?
I'm feeling all right. The old allergy monster is putting up like a triple-double on me right now. It's one of those days. I don't know if it's a heavy pollen day. I did take the Claritin this morning, but yeah, if you have allergies, you know what you're talking about. You're just going to have those days to where it's just an absolute problem. So yeah, I'm in a tough spot today with the old nostrils. I hope I sound okay right now, but I need the Claritin D to kick in real quick. But outside of that, I'm feeling good.
You're in a flannel. He's in a hoodie, it looks like.
Yeah.
I'm the only one in a t-shirt in here freezing his butt off. So
not just
it's,
any t-shirt, ladies yeah. and gentlemen. We got a Hockey and Hounds t-shirt. Tell them right. where you can get it, baby. Tell them.
Yeah, whereimfrom.com, under collections, Hockey and Hounds. Every dime goes to the animals that I love.
There we go.
The homeless ones, the ones that need forever homes. I would say that whenever you mention the word pollen, the only thing I think of is my boy on YouTube with down there in wherever he was, the country city reporter kind of slash kind of going back and forth, and he's doing his live shot. He's like, you know, down here and whatever, and then something flew in his mouth.
Yep.
It like some sort of dragonfly that he probably swallowed half of. And then it went from that to the pollen and get out of here. And I, the stuff he said, I can't say on this here radio show, but it might be one of my favorite clips of all time.
It was a classic. The mask slipped a little bit. He went from, you know, had the professional mask on.
Yeah.
And then the real character came out, which is no surprise at all. But yeah, when you deal with stuff like that, I completely understand. My allergies have gotten so much better. When I was a kid, it was absolutely horrendous. I mean, crusty eyes, bloodshot eyes all day long, nostril stuffed up. But I feel like I'm growing out of it just a little bit. But every now and then, the allergy monster will pull up on me and just completely dunk on me from the free throw line. And I think today's one of those days.
All right.
You feeling all right, though, over there? You good?
Yeah, I mean, I took a page out of your book. I had something in my backpack. Every now and then I'll find a snack in there, which is great, that I've put in there. And I had a package of, like, a small package of lime pistachios without the shells.
Interesting.
Or maybe it was jalapeno. I'm not sure. Oh. And I did what you did. I poured them out there on the little pad and started chowing down.
Those are two very different sensations. I think you would remember that, wouldn't you?
Lime or jalapeno. He's right. You're kind of on.
Could it be both?
Maybe a little blend of both, a little BOFF.
I'll tell you what. In the break, I'll go get them. And we'll examine that because they were really good.
One of my favorite things, you know, throughout the week is AR getting his post-game meal before you get in the car. Like, because we always got food around here. People are sending us food or we're just buying cookies and donuts or whatever. Because you like a little post-game meal on the ride home. You know how, you know, athletes have, like, in the clubhouse or in the locker room or whatever, they have, like, a catering going on, right?
And you get to walk out with
a little
pizza box or an individual.
I love it.
Some kind of donut or something, some kind of cookie.
Yeah, you'll mess around.
So, yeah, news reporter swallows bug. But this one said news reporter swallows bug again. And then it's like mother, and then he goes, oh, blank, and then flying in the mouth, and he's, oh, pollen in my eyes, I can't see, let's get the you-know-what out of this town. If you haven't seen this clip, and I'm not telling you to bring it up at work or anything like that, or if you're of a certain age, you know.
Just put your headphones on at work.
Yeah, just, that's the best one. The stuff flying in my mouth, can't see, and then he drops out of nowhere, a pollen. He just says, pollen.
Yeah, he was hot.
It was great.
He was absolutely
That's
hot.
That's a good one.
Speaking of hot, can we talk about Jose Ramirez real quick?
Well, I thought you were going to talk about Jonathan India,
who,
by the way, is not available anymore in my league.
And
I wanted to pick him up today, and I didn't put in enough money to get the claim. I only put in a little bit thinking, But he's been playing as well as anybody. And somebody cut him, obviously, at the beginning, right? And I can't, now he's done. He's gone.
It's hard that you're not going to find him available there. But let's talk about Jose Ramirez right now, because I'm here to start the Jose Ramirez AL MVP campaign. This man is absolutely on one. After yesterday, he passed Manny Ramirez on Cleveland's all-time home run list with his 21st dinger of the year.
So, J-Ram passes Man-Ram?
That's exactly what happened last night. This man, this team, is absolutely incredible. They've gone into Baltimore. They won the series. They'll play another one. Two different games. Hey, you want to play a one-run game? We can do that. You want to play a banger of a game and put a whole bunch of runs on the board? We can do that. Steven Vogt, manager of the year right now to me, no doubt about it. But J-Ram, getting back to him. AR, here's where we're at. We're tied for fourth in all of Major League Baseball in home runs. Tied for second in RBIs. And Aaron Judge is the favorite on the board over at Bet365, but I'm getting in right now on J-Ram. Give me the juice at 20-1. So Judge is the heavy favorite at -160. I get that, but this is, I think, a long-term play, and if the Guardians continue to do what they're doing, which, by the way, they have the best record in all of Major League Baseball right now. That's how good the Guardians have been. But here's where we're going to, I think, nudge J-Ram ahead of Judge, for me, mentally right now. Judge has struck out 88 times. J-Ram only 39. J-Ram's got 15 stolen bases, Judge only 5. So I'm starting the campaign today. Jose is incredible, and I think we need to give this man some MVP love.
I'm not mad at that. I will tell you that he may actually define what an MVP is.
Completely agree.
Because he is so far and above the rest on his team, it feels like, in every category. The consistency is there. To show up in, to be top five in homers, ribbies, and runs scored, top 10 in slugging, OPS, and whatever other stat, total bases.
He's different.
So to be that important in all those categories for that team, and here's the most important thing, you said it, which is they have the best record in baseball. So they're a surprising team, that helps. They're that good, that helps them a lot. And here's the other thing that you didn't mention that may be part of it. Soto and Judge may steal votes from each other.
Great call. It's a great call out of you. That's very real. So we got a long way to go.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the best points that you can make in this scenario. And look, there's some other guys that are worthy. Gunnar Henderson, Bobby Witt, and Jose's own division. But just here in our state, in our backyard, we just got to talk about people that are just great players, and we do, but this guy has just been so consistent in a Cleveland uniform, and he's breaking all-time records, but more importantly, here in 2024, he's one of the best players in the sport. He's been phenomenal the last couple games over in Baltimore.
Yeah, and it's kind of been one of those, he's not a big campaigner, he's not that big Aaron Judge, you know, he doesn't have that presence, but when he's that quietly awesome, he should be noticed. I'm glad you did it. Now, he doesn't lead the league in any major category. So there's not one that we can say, okay, look at this.
Okay.
But when you are, as I say, top five in home runs, ribbies, and runs, and the other categories I mentioned, then all of a sudden, you are the definition of an MVP. Now, let me look at Judge's numbers real fast.
They're good.
Well, he's been, okay.
They're crazy.
I have Soto on the fantasy team, and so I'm obviously very happy about that, too. Since May 1st, so almost 2 months, Judge has hit 20 homers while batting .372.
Yeah, it's different.
Okay.
It's different.
That's
with him.
Made everyone forget about what happened in April. And so it's even scarier since the middle of May. He's .393.
Yeah.
So he's now tops in home runs, ribby, slugging, walks, OPS. And here's the other thing that if he gets to 400 total bases, forget it. It's over. It's probably over now.
I don't know. The strikeouts are massive. That matters to me, where it's almost a 50 strikeout difference between J-Ram.
They should. When you're putting up those numbers.
They should. In my opinion, they absolutely should. And when J-Ram's swiping bags at a higher clip too than him, I think that should matter. Look, it's the bottom of June. We got a long way to go. I just wanted to bring up Jose Ramirez after what he's done to this point in this season, but more importantly, the last couple games, breaking Manny Ramirez's record and being top three all time in Cleveland's history with dingers. Yeah, we got to talk about that.
All right, the other thing we got to talk about real fast is this Jim Schlossnagel. That's an amazing name, by the way. It's probably...
Say that three times.
Yeah, I don't want to say... I mean, you could insert another name before that. You could do a lot of this stuff, especially with what he pulled off after the College World Series. He's Texas A&M's baseball coach, or at least he was. And it's one of these stories that... And I got to... Let me get the spelling on this name again. Boy, that is a great name. Jim Schlossnagel.
Big spelling bee guy back in the day?
Not really, yeah, no. Not, I mean, built, and by the way, that. Now, there's the loophole of the whole origin and this and that. Like, there is a trick to it, right?
What, in the spelling bee?
If you study enough in the spelling bee and you understand the origins of words and how you get to a certain place,
yeah,
there is a 1 + 1 = 2 kind of effect in spelling bees, right?
Okay.
Why would those kids be asking... sentence, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So he left Texas A&M for the Texas baseball job. This is after almost getting his team to win the College World Series. They lose to Tennessee the other night. And then there are the big rumors that he is going to Texas, right? By the way, this reeks of Bonnie Bernstein, Roy Williams, after Kansas loses to Syracuse in the NCAA championship game. Are you going to North Carolina? Dream job. That's where, the family, the whole thing. And he just totally... kills her for asking the question. I know the backstory to it, and I'll tell you in a second, but that reeks of this, where you're coming off an emotional loss, mm-hmm. You're on the verge of taking this job, you know you're taking it, the rumor's out there, you know you're going to get asked about it, so you could handle it a hell of a lot differently, or even say no comment, whatever you want, and he didn't do it. Here it is.
Coach, with respect to the difficult outcome tonight, but with the rumors circulating today about a specific job opening, what do you have to say about your future in Aggieland?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty selfish of you to ask me that question, to be honest with you. But I left my family to be the coach at Texas A&M. I took the job at Texas A&M to never take another job again. And that hasn't changed in my mind. And that's unfair to talk about something like that. That'd be like you asking Montgomery if he's going to sign in the draft. But I understand you got to ask the question. But I gave up a big part of my life to come take this job, and I've poured every ounce of my soul in this job, and I've given this job every single ounce I can possibly give it. So write that.
So write that.
I mean, is this the most absurd thing you've ever heard as far as the timing? This isn't months away.
Yeah, the ending of that reminds me.
Just happened.
Dave Fizdale. Remember the Grizzlies coach? Take that for data. He exited the presser. That kind of reminded me of that. Here's why. Look, hearing that was absolutely wild, because at that point in time when he said that, AR, he clearly knew he was leaving to go to Austin to be the Longhorn baseball coach. But I'm not surprised by this. I say this all the time. Coaches and players are professional liars. That's what they do. They've been trained to do it their whole lives in front of a microphone and in front of a camera. So for him to go after that media member like that is absolutely ridiculous, and to try to flip it on them and make it seem like they're in the wrong, because I'm sure the media member knew at the time that, hey, there's rumblings that this guy is getting ready to leave. So no, I'm not surprised to hear another coach do that, because we've seen it for years and years and years, and he won't be the last.
Got no real problem with the lie if he felt it was necessary at that point. What I am upset about is the hypocrisy of him saying, I understand why you have to ask, and then call him selfish in the same sentence. Yeah. That person's doing their job. Your job is either to answer it or not answer it.
Mm-hmm.
The other part is weird, and I've pointed this out before. The tough question at the press conference, or the awkward question, or all that, we romanticize in sports movies all the time. It's like the greatest thing, and they always put it in sports movies, and it's cool, and it's appropriate. But in real life, it's looked at as like the worst thing ever, and I don't understand. All he had to do is say, my mind is on what just happened. I have no comment. Now, if somebody wanted to double down and keep pressing him on it,
yeah,
and then maybe he could say, I want to talk about the game. Any more questions about this? The press conference is done. That's his prerogative to do. But what's not appropriate is for him to say, I understand, essentially, you have a job to do, which, by the way, turned out to be right just days later. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't 3 months ago, and then he decided to take the job. He knew it.
Yeah,
so, and when Bonnie Bernstein asked Roy Williams about it, he was really upset. I'll tell you why when we come back, because there is a little bit of a backstory to that. And then we'll get into the show today. We got Adam Schefter, bottom of the hour. And Maddie, the Browns may have something that nobody else has. Tell you about that next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
One, two, three.
Here in the Fan is always football o'clock. Proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
Very understandably, you didn't want to address this issue during the week, but many people out there with the game over want to know what your level of interest is in the North Carolina job, Coach.
Bonnie, I could give a flip about what those people want. As a journalist, you have to ask that question. I understand that, but as a human being, that's all those people that want that answer to know right now, they're not very sensitive.
If they offer you the job, though, would you be willing to take it?
I haven't thought about that for 1 second. And the guy in your ear that told you you have to ask that question, as a journalist, that's fine. But as a human being, that's not very nice because it's not very sensitive. And I got to think that in tough times that people should be more sensitive. I could give a about North Carolina right now. I've got 13 kids in that locker room that I love.
Coach.
All right. It's amazing. So there you go. By the way, 21, I mean, that's 2003. And so a lot of you probably haven't heard that. I mean, I'm at Channel 6. I'm watching that live. We're using that. That's after Kansas lost to Syracuse in the final game. There are several reasons he decided to leave the Jayhawks for Carolina when he was given the second chance to do it. And I had no problem with him taking the job. That's what he wanted to do. The backstory is that before the interview, and this is his claim, I don't think hers. And by the way, it was a little bit also a slam to her saying that the person in your ear, like she couldn't want to ask that herself.
Completely undermined her journalistic integrity.
Now, the backstory is this, that before the interview, he reportedly told her not to bring it up, that he asked her not to. And so he really got mad at her, which you heard. Now, and then he also said something like, if she was a man, I would have stopped it. I would have walked away. Like, almost like he was doing her more courtesy because she was a female. I don't know. Listen.
Is that Tracy Wolfson? Is that
Bonnie Bernstein?
Bonnie Bernstein. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And so he told her that if somebody tells her to ask that, that she should tell them that they're not a good person. You know what? She did anyway, and she even followed it up. And I got to tell you, I found out later that there was nobody telling her to say that. She did her job. Mm-hmm. And even though he asked her not to, she probably had to say to him at that moment, it's what everyone is thinking. I've got to ask it. Yeah. If you don't want to answer it, that's your prerogative. And that's what I don't understand about they oscillate back and forth between, I know you have to, but why'd you do it?
Be nice to me.
Well, if you know they have
human.
To. Yeah.
So suck anyway. It up, Roy. You're going to get more millions and millions of dollars. Yeah. And that's exactly what he did. Yeah. I'm glad you took us down a little hot tub time machine there because I had not heard that audio. I remember the story, but I don't remember that interview specifically. But again, another example of a coach lying.
I've got guys in the locker room that are crying. Well, good. Go attend to them then. And honestly, then it's, you know, then what are you out here for? You want to talk about the game. I get it. But and here's the deal. And I do leave room for the emotion of it. He's human. Mm-hmm. There's emotion to it. But I don't think he ever really apologized to her. And by the way, guess what he did? He took the job.
Of course. And he knew in that moment he was taking the job.
Yeah. He'd gone to a Final Four and then he lost in the championship. Those were two tough years at Kansas. And so that's the end of that story. And then he goes to Carolina and becomes a champion, and it's all good.
Yeah,
so I'd mentioned this before that there's one thing the Browns have that maybe nobody else has. And my answer to that is the best defense in the NFL. But I've got a little bit of a problem with it. Oh. And you have a rank. Are they ranked somewhere?
This is from Mina Kimes.
Okay.
You know, NFL analyst at ESPN. She hosts the show on NFL Live with Ryan Clark and Laura Rutledge and Marcus Spears. And she ranked her top five defenses. And here are her thoughts on the old dog pound defense.
The Cleveland Browns. So the reason why I have them one and Baltimore five is, unlike Baltimore,
they didn't lose anyone, including their defensive coordinator, Jim Schwartz. So it'll be year two with him. Obviously an elite pass rush led by Myles Garrett, but I think his secondary is something that kind of gets slept on. No doubt they benefit from that pass rush and the fact that they can devote more players in coverage, but I would argue the pass rush benefits from the fact that they have two cornerbacks in Denzel Ward and the incredibly slept on Martin Emerson Jr., who can man up just about any receiving group in the NFL. I would actually look for, by the way, Emerson to become a Pro Bowler for the first time this season. But this Cleveland Browns defense was phenomenal all of last season until the very end, which we can talk about. I think they're so talented at every level. They're incredibly deep, and I expect them to continue this performance next year. I don't see why that they would regress.
She's not wrong there. I think where I would poke some holes in it is that they really were not good against the run when they needed to be good against the run. And I can prove that by telling you that when teams got in the red zone on them, they scored at 71% of the time. And that's not good. That's not a, when you're the best defense in the NFL and you're the worst touchdown allowed rate in the red zone, to me, that has a real big imbalance, because that means when you need to be the best, you're not even close. And now, I can say a lot about them because they got to the playoffs with Joe Flacco at quarterback. That's a lot on their defense. It and is. A lot on him turning
well,
back
honestly,
the clock a little bit, too.
He was very good. The defense didn't need much from him because of what you just said. He was awesome. I mean, Joe Flacco wasn't just coming in and barely getting by. Yeah. The dude was absolutely balling. But I'm glad that you brought that up, because that's a question mark there. And we've talked again. A couple of those road games got dicey. And the last taste in our mouths from the Browns defense was that embarrassing loss to Houston with the way that Houston, CJ and company got after them. So you got a couple of new linebackers in the mix there with Jordan Hicks and Devin Bush. So we'll see if they can shore up that second level. We'll see how those guys fit inside of Jim Schwartz's defense. But I'm with Mina. It's hard. You'd be hard-pressed to find a more well-rounded defense when you talk about stars at every level. We know more times than not, Myles Garrett, this dude's going to be, you know, the rocket fuel for the spaceship that is the Browns defense. He's absolutely incredible, coming off winning a Defensive Player of the Year award. I think JOK has so much good football left in him. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, he gets to his first Pro Bowl last season after leading the team in tackles, and Mina just alluded to what they have on the back end. And I think Greg Newsom's a nice corner to have as well as your number three corner. So at every level, I think you have star players, but now it's just showing up, I think, in more consistently for a guy like Za'Darius Smith, who is a big name that came over to Cleveland, but last year you only get 5.5 sacks from him opposite Myles Garrett. So if he can really level up his play next year, man, that's going to make this defense even scarier. But they should hit the ground running because of a lot of the familiar names that we saw and heard about all last year that know what Jim Schwartz wants as a defensive coordinator. So this defense should be meshing very, very well. And if they had to carry the load a little bit while Deshaun still knocks off some of the rust from his injury, I think they're going to be okay. But they get a nice test right out of the gate because you got Dak and them boys week number one, with CeeDee Lamb as one of the best wide receivers in the game. So CeeDee Lamb, Denzel Ward, one-on-one matchups all day long. Sign me up for that.
And Dallas has a top five defense, in my opinion. So they're pretty low. The other team that I know you like, and I can't wait to see how improved and how good their defense is, because we really couldn't without Aaron Rodgers, is the Jets. Like that team, I don't know how many weaknesses they have defensively. They don't seem like they do. And they've now got some. CJ Mosley is going to be 32. Reddick's 30. But this is the year, right? They're kind of all back in with Rodgers, and it feels like that the Jets are right there. They're when awesome. I think about defensive teams,
they're going to be a top five defense to me.
No doubt,
they're going to be a top five defense. And the same thing I said about every level for them, all three levels. Yeah. Same thing can be said about them, because you mentioned getting Hassan Reddick, but they got some great pass rushers and maybe the best interior pass rusher, D lineman, and Quinnen Williams in the middle of that line. And we know Sauce Gardner is one of the best corners out there as well. So Quincy Williams, CJ Mosley, one of the most slept on linebacker duos. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that team I really like, but that defense, and you got a head coach that's a defensive mind in Robert Saleh. Yeah, you're gonna have problems going up against that unit.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be really an interesting test. But you know, just to wrap up the Browns, if Bush and Hicks and Quentin Jefferson, like if those guys can clog up the middle a little more and help in the red zone,
they'll be cooking.
Then they got it.
Yeah,
because that's really what killed them last year, is when people would come inside the 20.
Yeah,
like they were leaving with points. All right, when we come back, Adam Schefter time. Will one quarterback get market value? We'll get the update. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
The only radio station still operating with an active booze cart.
I'm drunk right now.
No, I'm not.
Yes, I am. The Fan.
Ohio sports destination.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
NFL Playbook with ESPN's Adam Schefter.
Sponsored by Bet365. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
All right, he's our man, the senior NFL insider for ESPN. He's Adam Schefter. He's with us now on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Schefty, good afternoon.
Gentlemen, what is going on?
By the way, congratulations on your little hometown acknowledgement there. I know that they were giving you some kind of sticking it to you for checking your phone at the ceremony on ESPN, but that had to be very cool and an emotional time. And like Bill used to say, no days off, so that's okay.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I got called. I really didn't think much of it. I brought my daughter with me. I thought, okay, we'll go shake a couple of hands and, you know, move on and do our thing. And it actually was a more memorable and meaningful day than I had any idea about. Or, I mean, it was the whole thing was pretty cool. Surprisingly unexpected, and definitely did enjoy it. And yeah, it was pretty cool, the whole thing. And yes, in the middle of it, I got word that the Patriots were getting an extension done with Ramondre Stevenson. So I did have to answer my phone during that time. And that's just sort of the way things happen sometimes.
It's all a part of Adam Schefter Appreciation Day. What do you get for Adam Schefter Appreciation Day? I mean, is there a little bit of a key to the city or just a certificate? Or what came with that?
They gave me a certificate, gave me a couple of, like, you know, commemorative coins. You know, honestly, the cool thing was I was able to bring my daughter to lunch in the office of the county commissioner. There were other government officials there. There were judges there, lawyers. And we just kind of talked about life. And actually, I didn't find this out until afterwards, but the county commissioner, he's on a second marriage. He's a very nice, impressive guy. He's on a second marriage, but his first wife is now married. You know who his first wife is married to? This is pretty cool.
Who's that?
Who is it?
Well, his name is Bruce Blakeman. He's the Nassau County Commissioner. He's divorced and remarried, apparently a lovely woman, and good for him. But he and his first wife had some children. They got divorced, and then his first wife, his ex-wife, went on to marry a guy by the name of Paul McCartney.
Wait, his first wife is now married to a Beatle.
Correct. And in fact, his children's stepfather, I guess, right? Yeah, his children's stepfather is Paul McCartney.
That's about as big as it gets, man. We started thinking about this when I told the story to Maddie back in Miami right before COVID. The Super Bowl was in Miami, and I'm down there, and obviously you're down there. I got dropped off at the wrong entrance, not the media entrance. I went in through some sort of accidental celebrity entrance, and McCartney was there about, I don't know, 15 feet from me. And at that point, I said to myself, is this the most famous man on the planet, living man on the planet, or most famous living person on the planet? And I could not think of anybody else. No, not athlete, not a president, the most famous person that I was standing 15 feet away from. And I thought, this is going to be the greatest interaction of my life. And as we're walking in, I pulled my phone out, and I was that guy. And I said, Sir Paul, who's going to win? And I think because I said, Sir Paul, I think he entertained me, and he was funny. He just goes, Liverpool. And I'm like, that's outstanding. In fact, I think you have the clip, CB? Play it for Schefty.
Sir Paul, who's going to win? Liverpool.
All right.
That's being Paul McCartney. That's it. That's a wrap.
Yeah, you know, Yeah, well, but so anyway, we had lunch with Bruce Blakeman, and no one even said anything to me about. Like, I had no idea, and he was telling me about his wife, and he got divorced, and he got remarried, and his children, and da da. And okay, great. And I get home, and my brother-in-law, he goes, "Do you know who Bruce Blakeman's ex-wife is married?" I said, "No." He said, "Paul McCartney." I'm like, I Google it. I'm like, "Wow, okay, wow." I had no idea that. Not that I would have brought it up, but I had no idea. And when you say that, most famous people on the face of the earth, that's a really interesting question. That's a really, like, if I had to list the five most famous people on earth, I think Paul McCartney would crack the top five. I think I would put, any living president in there, and I think I'd put Taylor Swift in there.
You might be in that top five too, Shefty. I don't know. You might be up there.
Yeah, top five most renowned, or I don't know. I don't think so. Not even close. I wouldn't make the top five at ESPN.
Oh, man. No, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Shefty, let's talk a little ball. Between Jordan Love and Tua, which quarterback, which feel in the situation feels to you that, you know, one of those quarterbacks is closer to getting a new deal done with either the Dolphins or the Packers? Who's closer right now in your mind?
I don't know the exact. I would say they're both on a similar trajectory, and it could go either way. Like, I think you're looking at deals potentially getting done either right before training camp or right before the start of the season. I think that's the timeline you're thinking on both. It shouldn't be hard to do the deal. It's at or just north of $55 million, which is what the Jaguars gave Trevor Lawrence. And, you know, those teams could argue before, well, we don't think Tua or Jordan Love should be paid what Joe Burrow is being paid. Okay, that's fine. But then Trevor Lawrence gets done at 55, and now those teams lose a little bit of that argument. So, you know, I would think at some point this summer, both potentially could be done. I don't know who's going to go first, if I'm being honest. If I had to bet a dollar, I don't know.
Put a nickel on it. Put a nickel on it. Bet a nickel. Which one?
Man.
And the hush falls over the crowd.
I really think it's 50-50.
Okay.
I'm hesitant to go either way. Yeah.
Okay. So there's been some talk that, you know, the leverage that Tua has here, and or does he have leverage, and could he hold in a little bit in camp, and does he want to get the top dollar or just take so much better than what he has now? I mean, is there a sense that this won't get sideways on them in the fall?
I can't imagine. See, players' rights are limited in terms of what they can do. Like, I don't see Tua staging a hold-in. That just doesn't seem like the kind of guy that he is. And it's not like the Dolphins don't want to get it done and are being unfair. Like, and how many quarterbacks outside of Teddy Bridgewater have suffered a potentially career-ending injury during training camp? It doesn't happen. They have red jerseys on there. You know, by and large, they're not getting touched. Like, he wants to win and compete badly. He's going to be out there, whether he has the deal or not. So I don't see that changing his approach. I don't see that.
Okay. Shefty, we were reacting to one of your teammates over at ESPN and Phil Yates, or some of his fantasy rankings, and he's very high on Anthony Richardson, and I'm kind of there too. When you look at Anthony Richardson and the Colts, like, how do you feel about his potential season, or more importantly, I guess for us on this show, is his fantasy ceiling this year?
Well, I think the fantasy ceiling is huge, right? But here's the thing. If you could guarantee me that Anthony Richardson were going to play 17 games this year, I could make the argument to you that he should be the number one picked quarterback in fantasy. I could make that argument if you promised me he was going to play 17 games. The problem is health usually has been an issue. And how many times, even in college, has he been able to play a full season? And so the way he plays is so physical, and he's so big, and he takes hits, that I don't think it's accidental that he's continued to miss time. I don't think it's freaky. He just has. And I think if you're picking Anthony Richardson, there's the real chance that he's going to miss time at some point again. You just hope it's not much, if any. And so that's why I say, like, if you could say to me, Anthony Richardson is playing all 17, I don't know that there's going to be a quarterback that averages more fantasy points per game than Anthony Richardson. But I just don't know how many games he's going to play.
Yeah, that's the gamble. That will be the risk come fantasy draft time, my man. All right, top five most famous person at ESPN, Adam Schefter, we appreciate you. And
No. Hold on. Before you let me go, top five at ESPN, I would say off the top of my head, Stephen A. Smith.
Okay.
Mike Greenberg.
You got to put Berman in there, right, still? Or is he kind of...
Yeah, as long as he's there doing it. He's not as active, but as long as he's there, he gets his rightful place. No problem. I got to tell you, I put Mel Kiper up there. Mel Kiper Jr. is a legend, right? Like... He's a legend.
That'd be
and
four.
Then, you know, on the fifth one.
It's got to be.
How about just the Monday Night Football team of Buck and Aikman?
They just got there. You've been there for a while. Yeah, we can't give them that. It's got to be you. They just got there, Shefty.
Well, then I'll go. Then we'll go. Whoa! I've been there 15 years. There have been a lot of people there longer than me.
I'm listening. Herb Street's been there a long time, and so.
Yeah, Chris Fowler, Kirk Herbstreit.
Fowler, like, Scholastic Sports America, yeah, you know.
Yeah, Lee Corso.
Well, maybe the fifth spot. The fifth spot is a fluid spot, and right now you're holding down number five, so keep working hard and stay there.
No, I'm not there. I'm just happy to be honored in my county, you know, with the day. That's all. You know, that's it. You know, hanging out with Sir Paul's. I don't know what the relation is, but whatever, you know, like
Sir Paul's. I don't know. You're right. It's kind of a pseudo ex brother-in-law. I don't know. I can't even figure it out. But all right, you're Nuke Lelouch. You're just happy to be here, and hope you can help the ball club. All right, my man. Be well,
guys. Have a great week. We'll talk next Wednesday.
You got it, Adam Schefter on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. All right, Maddie. We stay with football. Silver bullets: talent or mentality. A legend weighs in. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
Common Man has spent the past 18 years telling you how much he hates people. And yes, that probably means you, too. Common Man and T-Bone.
Weekdays at 3. The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
These guys wear baseball hats every day, and it's because their hair is sewn into them. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, top of the hour, by the way. If you want to know what it's like to go from point A to point B in 6 seconds, I'm not talking about Urban Meyer's old deal. I'm talking about going from point A to point B in about 213 miles an hour in about 6 seconds. Troy Coughlin Jr.
Yeah, I just want to add this from YouTube, discussing what Adam was talking about with his top five from ESPN. Yep. I saw Thomas on YouTube said, how about Scott Van Pelt?
SVP is up there, but I don't think he may be household amongst the generation that watches. I don't. Matty brought up something during the break. I'll ask you this question. Does your mother know who Scott Van Pelt is?
No.
Does your mother know who Adam Schefter is?
No question.
Does she only know it because he comes on your show every week?
No.
Okay. That may be our tiebreaker.
I think Shefty is the name when it comes to NFL news around the world. And when you are that guy, in that sport, you got to be top five at the company, to me.
Yeah.
I think Shefty's name is more recognizable than Mike Greenberg's.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah, I mean, there was an old commercial back in the day. Back in the like 70s, the 80s, it was E.F. Hutton. It was talking about like business stocks and things. And the commercial was like, when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. Mm-hmm. I think Schefter has that when when Adam Schefter talks, people listen. I think he has that insight. He certainly has the insider feel. But I told you during the break, there's a difference between, you know, when I talk about the most famous people in the world, and he just threw up, you know, I'd have to go with a president. Like, yes, there's a big difference between knowing who somebody is, and that may be the fame of it, versus actually being famous. Like, there's a difference between Adele and Bill Gates.
Absolutely.
Like, they're both, like, equally famous, yet people aren't paying necessarily to go hear Bill Gates talk about computers. So I'm sure that's the problem I have, is that I can't tell you that Paul McCartney is the most famous living person on earth.
It's going to hit different.
I don't know what my definition
everybody.
Is it just whether people know who they are?
I would think so, but generation by generation, there's only going to be, you know, the list is going to vary for everybody based off of how old you are, based off of what your interests are, and just all of those things.
Because Taylor Swift is more famous right now than Paul McCartney, obviously.
100%. But in the
scoreboard. What about scoreboard?
Paul's, man, I don't know. She's getting close in his rearview mirror as far as popularity over time throughout an entire career. I mean, the Beatles were at their peak in the 80s. Do I have that right? 70s?
60s.
60s. So that's what I'm saying. Like, she's been doing this for early, mid-2000s up until where we are right now, and she's not going to slow down anytime soon. Paul's in all time. His name's always going to be recognized. But as far as when she's done, I think it's going to hold the same weight, if not more. And especially now when you start baking in another realm of entertainment with sports, with who she's attached to.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
And I'll ask it to CB because he's a better guy to ask. I know that there's a weirdness to people, whether they appreciate the Beatles or not. My stepdad absolutely loved them. He had the records. I listened to them. I love them. And I know there's some people that have said, it's not for me. It's just weird. But I do think this. I think their music did somehow stand the test of time. Okay. Somehow it does. Will Taylor Swift's songs stand the test of time in that way? Because if we go from, let's go 50 years from now, are they still being played at the rate the Beatles are being played?
That's a great question. I think so, because it will still resonate with the younger audience, matter really the generation as the years go on. So I think that'll at least keep it alive. But in terms of like the across generations for years and decades to come, that's a great question. I'm not sure.
Let me ask you guys this. What would you say is the most popular Beatles song of all time?
Yesterday, maybe, which is a ballad, but it's not like Help or like one of the more than what are those? But I would say, I mean, they had a lot of ballads, like The Long and Winding Road, and Yesterday. Like, they had a lot of slower songs, but they did have some incredible songs.
CB, the most popular Taylor Swift song to this point, you would say, is what?
That's a very good question. In terms of streaming numbers, I think typically the newer albums tend to outdo the old ones as the years go on.
Okay.
But if I had to guess what the general population would probably pick, it's either probably Love Story or Blank Space, probably another one.
So let's actually say 20 years from now, are you going to be thrilled to throw on that song you just mentioned? Will you play? Will you hear it, and will it hit you the same way it's hitting you now?
Well, especially Love Story, because it's one of her early records. Like, it's kind of throughout time, as she's grown in her genre, it's kind of been the highlight ever since. So, yeah, I think it will.
Yeah, because I think CB brought up a good point for, like, you know, maybe the young girls that are in junior high or elementary school right now, when they're 40, 50-year-old women, that's going to bring them that nostalgia, that vibe. Because I do the same thing with music I listened to growing up. So, her music's going to live for 40, 50-plus years.
I'm wondering, because of the people that went to high school in the 80s and how they loved Madonna, are they still listening to those songs today with the same kind of affection?
I'm sure
I don't
they
think
are.
They are.
I'm sure they are.
Are they?
Yeah.
Maybe not to the same frequency, but I think every so often.
Yeah, you got it on a playlist somewhere.
All right. We'll have to come up with our list. Top five most famous people on earth. All right. I'll tell you, he's got a pretty famous name when it comes to racing, and I can't imagine strapping yourself into a car that's going to go 200 plus in 6 seconds. Troy Coughlin Jr. in studio next. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
We're the girthiest radio station in the history of radio.
Uncomfortably girthy.
This promo is uncomfortable.
The Fan, Ohio's girth destiny.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rothman and Ice, the number one rated midday show in Columbus.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
All right, welcome back. Second hour of the program, Rothman and Ice, Anthony Rothman, Matty Ice Hayes. This is a real treat because when you meet people that are born to do something, I feel like that's the most special thing in the world. And sometimes you have a passion and the DNA kind of runs deep. Or you have to kind of learn to love it, and we'll find out. But I was fortunate enough in my career here in Columbus to cover his entire extended family, whether it's Jeg Sr., your grandfather, your uncles, your dad, Troy. But we have Troy Coughlin Jr. in studio with us right now. Drag racer extraordinaire right out of Olentangy Liberty. And it's great to have you in studio, my man.
Hey, it's an honor to be here.
Team Yellow, the old White Castle Elite Machine, you got the shirt on. Crave case before every race? Probably not, right?
Well, you know, I don't know about a case, but it's you can buy them by the sack, so I would say about four or five. Okay. Know, so I'm good for that.
How do we fuel up before a race? Is there like a pre-race meal that you always go to? How do you fuel up and get ready?
I mean, you know, I would say probably maybe a couple doubles, maybe a single, maybe a small fry.
Now
you know,
we're talking.
It's good for the soul. You got to stay Columbus. I like those local brands.
I like it.
Well done. The NHRA Nationals this weekend, Thursday through Sunday in Norwalk. So a couple hours north here, directly north of Columbus. So you'll have Funny Car. You'll have Top Fuel. Pro Stock is obviously your division. So Friday, Josh tells me they're running under the lights too with fireworks. So that'll be incredible. Saturday and Sunday racing all day, and so you can root on Troy and Jegs. So. Are you truly born to do this? When did you realize that this was almost a birthright, something that you had to do?
Well, you know, I can't, it's kind of hard to remember. I learned how to walk at 11th Avenue, looking up in the warehouse at Jegs at a National Trail Raceway. So I don't know. Geez, growing up here in Columbus, it's a very competitive place with Ohio Stadium, Ohio State football, Ohio State basketball. It's just, I love competition. It's a way of life for me. So, God, just watching Jeg, my dad, and John and Mike, and my grandfather, it's just, I love competition. I thrive off of that. So, here's my my stage to do it on, and I love speed, and here we are. Let's get it on.
The need for speed, man. And I asked you before, because you were Top Fuel. So, you were a dragster guy, and you were 30 or whatever you'd go in a Top Fuel dragster. Now you back to town a little, right? 200 plus in a Pro Stock. What's the big difference? Is the fear factor the same? Is the challenge the same?
It's a lot different. The Top Fuel dragster is just about hanging on. It's just it's a thrill. It's very sensory. You just got to manage it down the racetrack. Those things are just so extreme. It's unbelievable. Just the pounding of those cars. Just what an experience. The Pro Stock car is just so athletic. It's very cognitive. You're shifting. You're just doing so much more. I just feel like it's an athlete's car. You're letting the clutch out. You're banging gears. If you're running on the limiter too high, your drive shaft's going down. If you short stick a gear, all your power's not going to the track. So you're, as a driver, you have to be very precise.
It's kind of like Matty when he leaves here. when he leaves in his Challenger. It's the same type of stuff.
I got the need for speed, too, every once in a while. I like to sneak by. You know, I get hop in the fast lane every once in a while, tap that pedal. I need to learn from you, though. I need to take some lessons from you. So can you help me out with a little bit of something?
It's a way of life. We can help anyone.
I appreciate it. Take us to, like, maybe a little bit of the runway that gets you to where you are now and the process of becoming a driver, an elite driver like you are. What is that cycle like for anybody that would be interested in getting to the business that you're into?
Oh, it's a major process. It takes a lot of time and patience. You start in a junior dragster. You jump in the sportsman ranks of the NHRA Lucas Oil ranks. Super comp dragsters, super gas. It's just the sportsman ranks. You just kind of work your way up and you kind of see how it fits. You look for sponsorship, funding. You look for a way to market other companies' products with your car. And you just kind of go from there, see who you meet, and you try and market their product. In the meantime, you're working on your driving, you're studying where you're struggling, and you learn. And that's, I think, where the patience comes. You never stop learning. That's something that just doesn't go away. I learn something new every run I make. So
it's awesome.
Troy Coughlin Jr. with us, Team Yellow, Jegs.com, in the White Castle Elite Machine. You can see him at Norwalk this weekend, NHRA Nationals, NHRA.com for tickets. So let me ask you about the physicality, because we kind of joked about how, you know, you're fueled by White Castle as well. What is the physical challenge in these? How you feel this, right? The G's you're pulling in these cars. I know it's quick and it's a drag strip and all that, but what is that feeling when you're in those cars and going from point A to point B, 200 plus in 6 seconds? And change.
It's about 2.5-3 G's. Cardiovascular helps. I train over at Peak Performance, over off Industrial Parkway with Vince Workman, who's a fellow Buckeye.
Mm-hmm.
Does a fabulous job. We do a lot of reactionary training. That whole staff over at Peak just does a fantastic job of tailoring workouts to your sport. So that's a great place to go.
The mental focus, what's the difference? I mean, do you do anything in that regard?
Tons. I've had anything from a focus band, like a golfer would have. My cousin, Jeg 3, he's helped me a ton in that department. So is Jeg Jr. at that. It's all focus. You know, it's like anything. Like you're chewing food. It's just focus. It's extreme mental challenge. You just have to keep your mind where your butt is. And if you can just control yourself for those few seconds and make a nice lap and give it your all, you're likely going to turn a wind light on as long as everything's working.
Makes sense. You know, in the world of sports right now, there's analytics are driving a lot of, you know, what professional teams and athletes do, and technology kind of working hand in hand. How much of that do you invest in as a race car driver here when it comes to either numbers or technology? How does that play a factor in what you do?
Well, as far as racing analytics go, we have all types of analytics as far as the car's performance goes. You know, looking at the way the clutch looks, the way the transmission looks, the way everything looks, the way the run looks. As far as the marketing side goes, you know, what the car is getting value-wise over a weekend's time. We have some data, what it shows, what the value, the worth is of this car. It's very, very little, but some, a little bit. Social media-wise, you see some data on what it gets. So it's definitely growing. NHRA does a great job for us.
Bigger thrill for you, winning a drag race or getting inducted into the White Castle Hall of Fame. It's got to be close.
It's all really neat. The White Castle, the Hall of Fame, that's so cool. What a great brand. I mean, it's a family business, just like at Jegs. So it's just the mantra of the brand and the vibe of the brand is so much fun. It's so unique. It's every time you go to a White Castle, the experience is fantastic. And that's always been my dream of Jegs, is for someone to have a great experience when they shop there.
How'd you get into the Hall of Fame, though? Just by being a great race car driver?
Well,
or do you have to eat a lot?
How many sliders you got to eat to get in that
thing? It kind of goes hand in hand. Because okay. I've had my fair share. I'm my father's son. We really enjoy White Castle. It's a place we went after a long night at the races and a long night at the shop. I mean, we're Buckeyes through and through. So, and that's a Columbus company. So Go Bucks.
That's how you become the centerfold in Drag Illustrated, Matty.
I see the vision.
Yeah, you got to eat a lot of white sliders.
You know, every once in a while in racing, we see, you know, some fights happen every once in a while. Take us behind the scenes. Are there unwritten rules that are, like, broken that lead to that? Like, what leads to some of those situations more times than not in your experience? And have you ever been in a fight?
At a drag race?
Yeah, at a drag race.
No, okay. You know, I've always been rather pretty even keeled or pretty chill. But if a time or you know arises for a fight, I wouldn't even know. You know, I've just never just assume win the round and go back to the trailer and get to work
because it's
ready
not
for the next one.
Yeah, because it's not like I guess a regular auto race where you can have somebody that nudges you out or whatever. I mean, I don't think. It would be very unintentional in a drag race, right? And I don't know. But you're right. Like, Maddie's right. We've seen drivers who get knocked out of races and other, you know, on other tracks, get out, wait for that guy to come around, and then it's on or get
the
into the pits.
The track guys, they get in fights all the time.
Crazy, isn't it?
It's entertaining.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it's unique. I don't know that I was cut out for that, but something arises and you gotta get ready to fight. I mean, whatever it takes. But drag racing just doesn't happen
over there.
Not
okay,
yet, but you never know.
The whole thing is like reaction time, right? Like you talked about Kirkersville National Trail. So we went out there years ago to do a media stuff. We got in Camaros and we did it. The hardest part to me was that reaction time. Was knowing when that tree when it hit, when I go yellow, green, however I do it. And it's like a defensive end. You hear that thing, his get-off time, right? To be able to time the snap. Are there guys and women, obviously, that are in your division as well, are they some that much better at that part of it? Are you all fairly equal in knowing when to go?
You know, it just seems very situational. Every driver has their day. But there are drivers that are known for react. My Uncle Jeggs, fantastic. At leaving the starting line, Eric Anders is great.
What are their secrets? Did they tell you like what the trick was?
Focus, just focus. Knowing their body, reading your body well. You just look into the bulb, you know, at the top bulb of the tree where you're comfortable, and just getting comfortable in the car and feeling good, and just getting all your negative thoughts out, and just feeling good. Yes. You just have to get into a nice flow state, and just get in there and crush it and just really feel good. Enjoy what you're doing and really remind yourself you're there for the love of the sport, love of the game. You're loving what you're doing and you really want to be smiling on Sunday evening holding the gold man.
There you go. Coolest car you've been in outside of the track.
Whoa. Oh, geez.
All that drag racing you did in high school on the streets up there, you know.
I've never been cited, never been pulled over. Well, I've been pulled over, but I've never been ticketed.
For speeding?
Never.
It's knock on wood there.
We'll
keep that luck rolling. We'll keep the luck rolling.
Yeah, I've been doing well.
Okay. Yeah, coolest car you've been in, not on the track.
Ah, geez. You know, I'm pretty simple there. My Uncle Mike Coughlin has a ton of cool cars. He's got a beautiful 68 Camaro that I've always liked.
Okay.
A couple Chevelles that are really cool too. I'm a hot rod guy. Of course, you know,
There we go, baby.
It's the brand. It's what we do. We're hot rodders. You can't just pinpoint one. I love Mustangs too. I love Dodges too. You ask for one, that's tough.
Yeah.
There's so many of them. The American cars are awesome. Especially back in the day.
Yeah.
Even though I wasn't really alive. There's some 90s cars that are pretty cool, too. I'm from the 90s.
You're a muscle car guy. Yeah.
Gen 3 Camaro, though. That's cool, too.
Okay.
Team Jegs, jegs.com, Team Yellow, the White Castle Elite Machine. He's Troy Coughlin Jr. See him this weekend, NHRA Nationals, Summit Motorsports Park in Norwalk, Ohio. For tickets, NHRA.com. We're going to be watching you, man. You've had a heck of a career to this point. It's proud. You're carrying on the family name incredibly well, and it's great to have you aboard and you're a White Castle Hall of Famer, so now we know a Hall of Famer personally.
Chicken rings for everybody.
Well done.
There we go.
Good luck this week.
Come on out. Every ticket's a pit pass.
Okay. Is it really?
Look at that.
Yep.
All right.
12 and under are free.
Do you know a lot about working on cars too, or is it just driving them?
Some. I've worked on mainly the race cars more so than the street cars, but older I get, I would say I'll eventually get me a hot rod and start wrenching soon.
Man, born to drag race, and he's done it really, really well. Troy Coughlin Jr., his whole family has been incredible. They're local. Root them on. We will this weekend. Thanks for coming in, Troy.
Thanks for having me.
Well done. All right, when we come back, we'll do our ins and outs. As usual, Rothman and Ice on The Fan.
If the sound of another man slammed against plexiglass turns you on, you've come to the right place.
Proud to be your home for Jackets hockey.
The Fan, Ohio Sports Desk.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
In an Ice present, in or out.
Just a little of the old in and out.
All right, CB, what you got?
All right, question number one. We need to exclude the Buffalo Bills from this because they have a plan for a new stadium up there, but they've already announced it's going to be an open-air stadium, so most likely we will not be seeing another Buffalo Bills stadium for a very long time. But the others are pretty much either like a canopy or a dome attached to them. That seems to be the theme. It's going to be happening now with the Jaguars and then eventually the Carolina Panthers down the line and maybe even, yes, the Cleveland Browns. So my question to you is, are you in or out on possibly all 31 eligible teams, as I listed, having a dome sometime in the future?
I don't like it. I understand why fans could, or owners definitely do, right? I mean, these guys make a ton of money. There's so much invested. Why would they want to play in less than ideal conditions, right? As a player, you may not want, unless you're like a defensive lineman and maybe that's just fits your identity. But what's happening here is very obvious. If the three of us own a team and we want to increase revenue, we can make our stadium more appealing across different markets with concerts and whatever else we want to put in there. I don't personally love it. I think football, generally speaking, is an outdoor game, and it should feel outdoors. It's not that I'm not going to watch an indoor game. We have them all the time. But as they get built, so you're asking me whether I'm in on it? No. Do I understand why it's happening? Yes.
I'm absolutely in on it. I listen, as a diehard football fan, I'm not a huge fan of the heavy snow games or the heavy rain games because it takes away from the product. I'm not trying to watch these guys slip and slide around and there's a 7-3 game. To me, that doesn't do anything over my neck of the woods, but I'll take you into the world of wrestling. Just look around where we are right now. I mean, the city of Indianapolis, they just announced yesterday, Triple H on Pat McAfee's show, that Indy is about to get, you know, SummerSlam and a Royal Rumble, and they're getting a Royal Rumble in February. It's on my birthday, too. I'm going to have to slide over to Indy for that, though. But without the Dome, you're not hosting those events. Philadelphia just hosted WrestleMania, a big-time pay-per-view this past was it WrestleMania? I don't know. It was one of the biggest pay-per-views that WWE had, and they were outside, and people were complaining that it's cold. So, yeah, if you want your city to create revenue off of that, I think you need to have a dome. And if it's retractable, I'm here for that, too. Then you can make the decision whether or not you want it to be open or closed. So,
maybe,
yes.
Maybe we only cover the fans, like lower.com. Like, maybe, maybe they're only treated that.
So, yeah, long-winded answer by me, CB, but I'm in.
Weather and grass, I think, are the two things I want in my football.
And boring games.
No, I don't think it's boring at all. A blizzard game is about as entertaining as
there's
I can get.
There's no good plays happening. That's my issue.
Those are some of the most fun to watch, I think.
Oh, give me like that Rams. Was it Rams Chiefs a couple years ago? Whoever it was like 54-51. Like, I'd rather have that peak than
Bills
go the
Chiefs
other way. I'd rather have that. That's all.
All right, question number two. It's probably the least anticipated NBA draft I think I can recall in a very long time. And it happens to be because, really, the talent from the college game in this draft isn't as strong as most years. And it looks like at the top of the draft, we might not see a guy for a while from that category. So the question is, are you in or out on the first college basketball player picked tonight coming from the back-to-back champions?
Klingon is our best bet.
I also
Where's
saw a mock draft with Castle being
the
first one,
say.
Too.
Yeah.
I don't know, because Atlanta's picking number one. And unless they're moving on from DeJounte Murray, I don't think they're going to take Castle. But you guys are right, because I like Castle a lot. He can go. But Klingon is a better fit for what Atlanta needs right now, so I'm going to stick with Klingon.
What about the kid from UK?
Shepherd. He can shoot that
thing.
He's
also being considered as the first college player, yes.
He can shoot that thing.
So this is between the first college player picked is a UConn guy or no?
Correct.
Boy, it's so close. Like Maddie said, you got two to make one with Klingon and Castle. But I think Shepherd could mess this up. So I'll say it's a semi-out for me.
All right, a couple of starts in for Gerrit Cole in his 2024 season after starting on the injured list. Was not a very good start his last game out. Are you in or out on Cole regaining his Cy Young level play this season?
I mean, he's back. He's contributing. He's doing well.
Yeah.
I think he still has dominating stuff. It's hard for me to go against that. And so I think he has the potential to be the ace the Yankees need. And I think his presence on the mound is still big. The health is obviously a concern. But I got to tell you, if you're telling me whether this guy could be a Cy Young again, I would say yes.
Yeah, he's not going to win the Cy Young Award this year, but as far as looking like a Cy Young candidate, he can get back to that this year. But to CB's point, he did get clipped yesterday. 6 earned runs four innings for Gerrit Cole. The dude's an absolute monster. He's knocking off the rust. He was down in the minor leagues pitching against kids and looking good there. But when you come into the big leagues, you know, it's going to take some time. Your first couple outings are against the Orioles, one of the best offenses in the league, and a Mets team that's starting to figure things out. So, yeah, I'm not too worried. I'm in on him regaining form sooner rather than later.
All right, question number 4. You might want to just relocate the College of Villanova across the state border into New York, because the Knicks are basically the Villanova Wildcats now, adding Mikal Bridges. My question to you is, are you in or out on those Knicks challenging the Celtics for the top dog in the East?
Ooh, I'll be in if they can bring back one of OG Anunoby or Hartenstein. And if they can get both, then I'm all in on that. But Hartenstein is a free agent, unrestricted. He's going to get a nice bag at center. But now, if especially OG, CB, because I would love going down the world of throwing Mikal Bridges and OG Anunoby at Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown as much as possible on the wing. The Celtics are going to be filthy, but the Knicks are going to be for real now, because Mikal Bridges is an absolute dog, and now he's put back in a slot that I think works better for him, more so than being the number one like he was in Brooklyn. So the Nova Cats are back. I think it's a cool story, but I got to be out right now, because I want to wait and see what happens with OG Anunoby in their starting center.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think it's very positive that OG is going to be able to stay and they'll be able to keep him. Re-signing Hartenstein may be a lot more difficult. You're asking the question about matching up against the Celts. I mean, they're certainly going to be competitive with them, but you start thinking of the top six with Tatum and Jaylen and Derek White and Drew Holiday and Chris Stapps when he comes back healthy. And I mean, those guys can all defend as well. So I just think that I'd have to go back and see what Boston did to them in their matchups last season. I think did they even lose to them? I don't remember. I think they probably had a pretty good record against them. But that's the situation now. They should be very competitive now with what they've done if they can keep those guys.
For sure.
Right, those are your ins and outs for today. When we come back, we'll kind of dive into the NBA with our friend Sam Amico. Could a big-time star, another one, be on the move? We'll ask him next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We know everything about you. We know you love the Buckeyes. We know you love the Jackets. We know you're wearing a red shirt. I just freaked the hell out of someone.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Finding the sweet spot between the over and the under. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, we got NBA draft. We got guys on the move. We got potentially Kevin Durant on the block. We get to find out a lot from our friend Sam Amico, senior NBA writer, HoopsWire.com. Sammy, welcome back.
Hey, guys. Glad to be back. Thanks for having me.
Are you? Which way are you leaning here on the 35-year-old Kevin Durant? Running it back here in Phoenix or Houston or somewhere else? What do you believe is true?
I think that there's certainly some conversations going on with the Rockets. Adrian Wojnarowski reported that's hard to dispute. So I would think that there's some conversations there. I don't know that they're super serious. I think maybe the Rockets have reached out and the Suns, you know, may be willing to try something new. Kevin Durant's going to be 36 years old here soon. I think he's been out of the play or out of the first round twice since he left the Warriors. So, you know, there's some reasons to potentially, if you're the Suns, move on from him, depending on the haul you could get back. And I think it's, you know, those type of things are fluid. They're hard to predict. But there's certainly some interest in moving him if you're the Suns.
Will be very interesting to watch, that's for sure. Sam, let's go up to Cleveland because they've checked the box of finding a new head coach. It seems like there's some confidence in the building that Donovan Mitchell is going to re-sign there. What's the next order of business for you in your mind when it comes to the Cavs this offseason and what they need to do to close the gap on some of the elites around the sport?
Yeah, the first thing, obviously, is the Donovan Mitchell contract extension. You've got to get that settled and situated and finalized before you can do anything else. And I think once they do that, that'll give them a better gauge of what they, you know, what they need to do to build around him. Excuse me. I think for the most part, you know, they're going to probably try to run it back. But now we're hearing these reports that if Cam Johnson from the Nets becomes available, and I believe he really probably is available, seems like they're having a fire sale there in Brooklyn, the Cavs would certainly be somebody who would be in pursuit of him because, you know, 6'8", sharpshooter is exactly what they could use. Now, you know, what type of assets would you have to give up to get somebody like that? It's hard to say, but that would be somebody they would pursue. We've heard the rumors of Darius Garland. It seems like those are dying down a little bit about him potentially or his camp potentially wanting him out if Donovan Mitchell signs that contract extension. I don't think that that's super serious. I don't think that the Cavs are looking to trade him. He's a former All-Star. He had a bad year last year. And I think that they would probably say, you know what, we have until February to make a trade. No need to do it right now if we feel the need. So why not run it back or mostly back with a new coach and see how it goes?
All right. The other one that's intriguing to me is, okay, now that J.J. Redick is in, you have to assume LeBron is staying in. We'll see. Where does Bronny get drafted? I mean, do the Lakers take him at 17? Do the Suns take him at 22? Does he fall to the second round? Does he fall entirely out and then sign as a UFA? What's your prediction on young Bronny?
I think, you know, I just put out the final mock draft about a half hour ago. We have him going 55 to the Lakers, which, you know, it's hard to tell. We've heard talk that obviously, like you just mentioned, the Phoenix Suns like him. I think that's probably a bit of a reach taking him in the first round. We've heard Toronto Raptors really like him. And that came straight from his agent, Rich Paul. And Toronto has the first pick of the second round. Is that something that could happen there? But, you know, for the most part, you would think in terms of his season that he had at USC, which granted wasn't very good, and he got off to in his defense, slow start after the heart scare at the beginning of the year, it seems like the natural spot for him would be late in the second round. Lakers just happen to have a late second round pick. And you know, there could be there's a theory that Rich Paul's told other teams, look, don't take him. It's going to go to the Lakers. LeBron wants to play with his son, and this would be the natural spot. So you could justify taking him at 55 if you're the Lakers. And I I wouldn't be real surprised if we see that's where he goes on Thursday, which now, of course, is the second round a day later.
Sticking with the Lakers, J.J. Redick kind of shook the room with some of his press conference quotes the other day. But just zooming out from that and locking in on your opinion of him now as a head coach in the NBA, what are your thoughts on what the Lakers can get out of him and hopefully what he can get out of the team next year, which is going to be some good things?
Well, within the last 4 years, nothing else has worked for the Lakers. You know, you've hired these experienced coaches or, you know, guys who have been coaches in the NBA, Darvin Ham, for instance, just weren't getting the results that you had hoped for under Darvin Ham or, you know, Frank Vogel before him, even though he won a title since then, just hadn't done much. So, you know, why not think outside of the box a little bit if you're the Lakers? Clearly, you had that whole courtship of Dan Hurley, which, you know, kind of left egg on your face when he turned that job down. So, you know, if you're the Lakers, look, I had a GM tell me, you could hire Phil Jackson or Red Auerbach or whoever. You've got to fix that roster because otherwise you're just going to keep using coaches as fall guys. So, you know, look, J.J. Redick, there's been other coaches who have come out of the broadcast booth that played in the NBA that did very well, and obviously Steve Kerr being the shining example. But it'll be a real interesting dynamic. J.J.'s about 5 months older than LeBron James. So, you know, he's a younger coach, and they've got some work to do on the roster. If they don't fix their roster issues, then he's not going to have any success.
Sam Amico with a senior NBA reporter with HoopsWire.com. All right, I'll leave you on the Celtics, and it doesn't seem like they've got any issues now going forward. No looming free agent problems. They're young. They're not at the core for sure. And, you know, health is obviously something none of us can predict, but look what happened. Milwaukee got hurt, so they didn't have to deal with them. Embiid, Jokic, they dodged those guys going all the way to the finals. Are you backing a repeat?
No, only because there's so much parity in the NBA now. You know, it sure seems that way. Now, if Boston can do it again, then suddenly maybe you have the makings of a little bit of a mini dynasty there. But there's just so much, as you listed, there was so much that worked out in their favor, which is good for them. They took full advantage of it, went 80-21 on the season, if you include the playoff. But there's just so much. You know, the NBA is very balanced now. It's not like the Warriors and Cavs of 5, 6, 7 years ago where you pretty much knew they were getting to the finals every year. This is a situation for the Celtics where there's a lot of talent in the Eastern Conference if everybody's healthy. You know, forget about, you know, teams like that they managed to dodge in the playoffs, but now you have the Pacers are up and coming. You assume the Cavs are in the mix. The New York Knicks just traded for Michael Bridges. I mean, there's a lot to overcome if you're Boston. So I just think as good as they were this past year, and it's hard to repeat anyway. Even all that aside, it's tough to repeat. So I wouldn't pencil them in by any stretch as the next NBA champions.
All right. Nice discussion there. Hit on a lot. Thanks, Sam. Always appreciate you. We'll talk again soon.
All right, take care. Thanks again for having me.
Yep, Sam Amico, senior NBA writer, HoopsWire.com on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline.
Yeah, let me tell you about a cool event coming up right now, AR, and it's the Schmitz Cardale Jones Celebrity Softball Game because it is coming, folks, and why picnic when you can Schmitnick? And it is presented by Monogram Homes and the U.S. Air Force. Saturday, July 20th, 6:30 p.m. at Huntington Park. Current Ohio State football players versus former Ohio State players. The captains of this thing, Cardale Jones. He will be the captain for the former player squad and for the current players team. That is going to be led by Emeka Egbuka. Tickets are only $10 and are available today at BuckeyeCruise.com. Again, tickets are $10. You can snatch some up over at BuckeyeCruise.com.
All right, Buckeye Bolton is coming up next. And a former two-time Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year weighs in on the talent and the mentality of the Silver Bullets. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
The Fan is live and local with Morning Juice. Caffeinate and dominate.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
The Fan, Ohio sports destined.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rothman and Ice present Buckeye Bulletin.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services.
Don't go through another air conditioner breakdown.
For fast, friendly service, call the experts at Logan Services now for a free estimate and next day air installation.
All right, we all know that Ohio State is primed for big time success this year. The pressure is on. We talked about Urban Meyer and Jim Tressel trying to walk the tightrope of talking glowingly about their chances versus heaping just crazy expectations on the championship or bust. But that's reality. We deal in reality. I saw an article the other day that said, with friends like Urban Meyer and Jim Tressel, Ryan Day doesn't need enemies. I thought it was actually kind of a funny line because of it was the same thing I was saying the other day of walking that tightrope of saying how good they can be and the potential of them versus also adding it's the greatest roster we've ever seen in the history of college football. Like that's like those are you don't have to go all the way there. They have. So that's what makes it fun for us.
Yeah, but then those things can be said, but it's the job of Coach Day and everybody else to kind of ignore them. Right? Like you can soak it in for a little bit of time, but you can't get caught up in that mess. Because when you get caught up in that type of stuff is when the distractions happen. And when distractions happen is when stupid losses happen, too.
Yeah, and it's not like they needed to add a ton with everything they had coming back on defense because they didn't lose that much.
Yeah.
But you start adding Caleb Downs and others, and all of a sudden, then the sky's the limit. And our friend James Laurinaitis, who obviously won the award for the nation's best defensive player when he was here, the Nagurski Award, and I had a Butkus Award and linebacker, and then I mentioned the Big Ten Defense Player of the Year, and now he's coaching these guys up. And he's got pretty good insight. Dom Tiberi, 10 TV, caught up with James about getting back to that elite status of the Silver Bullets.
And you got guys like Tress and Herb saying this might be the best team they've ever seen. What kind of pressure is that?
Yeah, I mean, I remember going into 2006, ranked number one in the country. There is pressure with that, but pressure is a privilege, you know, so you have to be able to go and attack it, and you have to, you know, we keep hearing about, oh, we're a really talented team. Talent doesn't win national championships. I think some of the most talented teams in Ohio State history never won at all. I think about the 2005 team that I was a part of was the most talented team out of the 4 years that I was at Ohio State. You think about 15, probably more talented than 14. You think about 2019. So there's been a lot of talented teams that didn't, you know, host a national championship. For us, we have to be the toughest team. And I think that's physically and mentally. There's going to come games, as you know, Dom, where things aren't going well, you know, and you just got to find a way to get through and to win those things. And at the end, stay healthy and hopefully have a chance to win it all.
Last thing, you feel like the Silver Bullets are back?
You know, I think you can only let your play kind of speak for itself. You know, when you look at last year, we were really good in a lot of areas on defense, really good. Our stop rate is a statistic that quite simply is how often do you stop the offense? And we were, I believe, second in the nation in that, which is huge. But at the end of the day, when we needed a stop in Ann Arbor, we didn't get off the field with enough time. You know, we gave our offense under 2 minutes to operate. We could have given them 6-7 minutes. So at the end of the day, you know, if you want to be part of that Silver Bullet mantra, you got to be able to come up with those big stops when they matter the most.
That's real. I'm glad he said it.
Good perspective.
I'm glad that he didn't sugarcoat that in the Michigan game. It was still there to be won. And the difference, I would say, between his time and this time is that if that Ohio State team in 05 that lost to Texas and lost to Penn State, they still get in. They still get in this era, most likely. And then they get another bite at the apple, whereas that team didn't. And so they go ahead and go to the Fiesta and pound Notre Dame and try to feel good about the end of your season, beating Michigan, beating Notre Dame. But those two losses before November hurt them tremendously. And so that's a little different in that the mentality is that, in my mind, you don't have to be perfect until you have to be perfect. Now, with this type of expansion, and that helps take a little bit of the pressure off.
100%. And, you know, I thought James brought up a good point just about, you know, the mental side of things, too. We know, or we're assuming, how physically gifted this team is going to be. And I think it's safe to say they're going to be one of the most physically gifted squads in the country. But mentally, right, the grind that's in front of them, or could be in front of them, with the amount of games that they could potentially be playing, like, you got to be sharp in that side, too. So not only, as James was talking about, like, if you get into one of these Saturdays and for whatever reason things just aren't clicking and you're in a bit of a fight there in the third and fourth quarter, what type of mental toughness are we going to see from this team? What type of mental toughness are we going to see from them to funnel out the noise and stay locked in on the ultimate goal when they get a lot of praise the weeks before the season, or those first couple games, maybe when they're cracking heads? And I think when you have a mature team as they do, that can be a nice thing for the locker room to handle. Maybe as a coaching staff, you don't have to enforce that all the time with your words. You can have leaders on the team do that. And I actually think, you know, going on to some on-the-field stuff where Dom asked him about the silver bullets, I think you can make a case that they were back last year. That defense was absolutely dominant. I mean, second in the nation in points allowed and third in yards allowed per game. They were absolutely tremendous. Jim Knowles had those guys locked in. One, I think, thing you and I are looking for this year is, you know, you and I are we're big on pressures, right, from the D-line. Like, that's such an important thing to have, but you also want to get home too, and every once in a while you want to get home and knock that football out. I mean, Ohio State ranked outside the top 60 in the country in sacks last year. They only had 22. So you can heat up the quarterback with pressures, but a couple of those games you're going to need some game-changing plays where Jack or JT or somebody gets home and not only gets the quarterback to the ground, but maybe strips that football too. So that's one nitpicky thing from last year I can't wait to see unfold, is how many times they heat up the quarterback, but, you know, do a little damage to the quarterback too.
Grind now, shine later.
I'd like to hear it.
Is that what you want to hear?
Talk about it.
The dream is free,
yeah,
keep but going. The hustle is sold separately.
Keep going. And he dropped the coach Dayline. He's in full coach mode. Pressure is a privilege.
Hustle until your haters ask if you're hiring. No?
I don't think I've heard that one before. Yeah. You got any more? Got any more bars over there for me? MCAR?
Hustle is silent. Was it let your actions, let your success be the noise?
I'm here for that.
Maybe that one's not.
I'm here for that. Yeah. You in on their new mantra? I don't know.
I didn't know there was. You and I were supposed to be. This was supposed to be grindless season, the cliche-less season.
Oh, I
this
think
was.
I think I've heard Coach Day say that a few times.
Which one?
Pressure is a privilege.
Well, somebody said it, right? It was a. Was it a player that said it? Now everyone's saying it.
I think
it?
It's Coach Day. Maybe kicked that thing off. I don't know. Could be wrong, but I think it's the head honcho got that rolling.
Yeah. I think I'm going to just stick with the grind now, shine later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Or talk later. Like, it's.
I thought you were going to go with one of your favorites. Don't hate the play, I hate the game.
That one's not bad. I think I'm going to stick with the dream is free, but the hustle is sold separately, or the work ethic. I think that's the one I'm sticking with this year.
I could have swore you told me, though, your all time favorite one was, though, if you ain't got no haters, you ain't popping.
Yes, that's what I live by. Actually, I actually prefer to live by your quote from yesterday.
Oh, ain't no laws when you off them claws?
That's the one I like to live by.
Get drink some White Claws this weekend, and then ain't no laws when you off them claws, baby.
And just because we had James on, I'll end it with...
Yeah, I mean...
Exactly.
He used to be stressed to answer a question.
You'll have to play that for him tomorrow.
When James when there'd be some, like... Take our segment, like ins and outs or something where you had to come up with something off the cuff, or you asked a question, a real yes or no, or you got to be opinionated. It'd be stuff that he'd have to, now the gears have to grind. Yeah. Now I got to be on a certain side. I've got to back it up with evidence.
Let's
and then
play
I would
it up.
Just, I just hear a.
Yeah, I mean.
James, chocolate or vanilla ice cream?
Yeah, I mean.
It just works. Glad I saved that for my boy. By the way, I was right.
What happened?
The wonderful. No shells, pistachios. This little bag.
Okay.
The flavor is jalapeno lime.
Interesting.
It's both.
B-O-F-F.
Yeah. And then I offered something to my boy here, and he says, I don't really like pistachios.
Because I heard you nub
and I
licking.
I said, but you love the nuts.
CB, I heard him nub licking over here, too.
I was. But isn't that a little odd? The guy who loves the nuts doesn't like pistachios?
I'm not a big pistachio guy. Kind of almonds and cashews.
But you love the nuts.
And some walnuts.
Right. I'm just.
You need to cut.
No, I'm just saying.
You ain't right.
Do you have a tin of nuts over there?
Yeah, but these are almonds and cashews, big dog.
That's it? No one else is allowed in the club?
I like a little walnut, everyone.
There's got to be something more than that in there.
No, I promise. It's not. I like a walnut and a brownie, too. You lean on that?
Oh, yeah. That's not
bad.
Yeah,
I like that, too.
The walnut is okay, though. It's not.
It works for me in the brownie, but outside of that, I'm with you.
We come back with a deep dive, third hour of the program. Should we be thinking about drafting a different running back at numero uno? We'll tell you next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
The sound of Paul Keel's calling a Buckeye game is erotic.
Oh, yes.
Your home of the Buckeyes, the Fan, Ohio sports destined.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for a deeper dive.
Sponsored by Maxima Concrete. Visit MaximaConcrete.com today to schedule your free estimate.
All right, back at it. Third hour of the program.
What just happened? I swear. Listen, you know I'm a big WWE fan right now, and they've got this creepy gimmick going on with, like, Uncle Howdy, and when he shows up AR, they shut the lights off, and I thought it just happened to us. But for a second, everything just went out in here.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I just ask CB in his ear, I'm like, are we still on the air? And he gave me a nod, and I'm like, okay, we go. I don't think it's one of those things that I used to do at Channel 6 where I'd go into the bathroom. And if someone was in one of the stalls and I was going in there for just not a full pit stop, just a splash and go, and they don't know you're in there, and then on the way out, you flick the lights off.
You were quite the prankster back in the day, weren't you?
Clay Hall
told us the story of that, you know, at the memorial, you put a sign on his back that said, ask me for autographs or ask him for
that
autographs.
That was in response to him putting a worm on my shoulder.
Quite the prankster, huh?
No, that was a total retaliation. I think what happened here is, Maddie, we wanted you to relive, because you make me relive a lot, although this was a win for you, the lights going out at the Super Bowl, like with the Saints, Ravens.
Listen, I was in a Niners. Bad place. I was in a bad place there. I was already in a bad place there, you know, when San Francisco came out to California.
You were up 28-6.
But just, they looked so intimidating. The Niners did it. And when the lights went out, I'm like, what's going on here? We're going to lose our momentum.
You didn't.
And the Niners are going to start cooking. And we didn't. And, you know, my Ravens go on to win a Super Bowl. By the way, my boy Justin texted me this morning because he was listening to the podcast yesterday. And by the way, if you ever miss anything from the show, you can always type in Rothman and Ice wherever you get your podcast, and everything we do from noon to three will be right there. But he's a huge Viking fan, as you know. And he caught our segment where CB was playing the Paul Allen clip. And he says he blames Brett Favre, that's where the blame needs to go as a Viking fan in that scenario.
I said it yesterday, we don't need to replay it.
I think we should.
No, it's not. No, for the people that don't know. You did it enough.
For the people that didn't hear it yesterday.
You did it enough.
Let's play it one more time, CB. Run it back, big dog.
Brett Favre goes back to pass. He pumps. Now he fires over the middle. Intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. It was intercepted by Tracy Porter. I mean, you can take a knee and try a 56-yard field goal. This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I mean, I do like the dig on Detroit at the time to try to take a little of the pain away. But you guys have to understand that our special teams helped set up a lot of points for them that day. And the other thing about reliving, like, one of the worst moments in pro sports history for me, outside of 98 with Anderson missing the kick, and he had been perfect the entire season. He had not missed a kick.
Yeah.
We still had chances to win both games. Both games weren't lost on those plays. And so, but if Justin wants to put it on Favre, I've got no real problem with him doing that. He's the one that threw the pass. But I wonder if he let any of my thought about Longwell not being automatic. I know 55-yard field goals right now are like extra points. Back in 2010, 14, 15 years ago, they weren't. They felt longer, and Longwell was not great from 55. That would have been iffy at best. And I blame the coaches for not trying to play more aggressive and get them closer. Favre never had a chance to redeem himself in overtime. That was my other bigger thing that hurt we had a chance to rescue the game.
I just wanted to bring up another perspective because I don't feel that emotion that you feel, and he does. And he says he puts it on the QB1 at the time, Brett Favre, the president of Copperfit. Saw some dudes at the gym. Saw a dude
had
the other day.
A lot more that he's known for now.
I saw a dude. You're right about that. A dude at the gym the other day are just copper fitted up. Both arms, both legs, just copper fit from head to toe. It's like, I see you, big dog.
I have one for the arm and the back. That's about it.
Okay.
The elbow sleeve. Yeah. But I need to find one that might even be a little sturdier than that. Oh. That's like, it's good. It gives support, but I need something
better.
Well,
you know who you need to call. You need to call Dr.
Ghostbusters?
No, you could call them too, but you need to call Dr. Carpenter. Bobby's always told you got some
Bobby
some
treats things
in.
With all sorts of lotions and potions and other things, but he's more on the, I'll get you out onto the field guy. Not like he's not worried about the aftermath of anything.
Yeah, you may die, but you'll be able to play around.
Yeah,
you'll be able to play around.
It's true. He did get me. Played golf and drove an Indy car in the same weekend, and I said, I can't. If I get in the car, I might not be able to get out. He goes, I'll get you in the car.
Yeah.
And he did.
And after
and
that,
then I showed up that week with a bruise on the back of my calf the size of a cantaloupe, and I was like, what's going on? Well, how much ibuprofen did I tell you to take?
Mm-hmm.
A lot. Well, there's your reason. All right, we'll get back
shout
to it here.
Out to the general.
And another factor from last night that I wanted to bring up, which is that there's a report from Buchagras that the Jackets are getting serious traction with Todd McClellan and that he could be the next coach of the Jackets. And the only reason I'm bringing this up is because I feel like this would be a very, very good get for the Jackets. I did. I still do. I think he's a highly respected coach. I think he's done some very good things. And the reason I'm bringing this up is that the responses I got, Maddie, were, I thought, unfair. Oh. And I'll tell you why. Because one of the responses I got back was, another retread, and he's a Babcock disciple. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, how sad is it that, first of all, here's my response to that. Please submit your list to me, then, of potential Hall of Fame coaches that are banging on the door, ready to be hired and available. All right, that's number one. Number two, when Todd McClellan was carving out his niche in this coaching world, and he was an assistant coach with Babcock 20 years ago almost, guess what they did there in Detroit?
Tell me.
They won a lot.
Okay.
And they won a cup, and they were going to conference finals. But what's sad about it is that the response was that because he coached with Babcock, suddenly he's that guy.
I don't think that's fair.
It's not fair at all.
I don't think that's fair to him. I mean, you got to allow people to grow and separate themselves from people that they
be different
when they worked for or they worked around. Right. Completely. Those guys can be different. So, yeah, definitely seems to be a decent amount of buzz around his name. Let's hear from the Big Don. The Big Don talked to the media, I believe, a week ago or a few days ago, just about the head coaching search. And here is, a little bit of his thoughts.
There's a lot of good coaches out there at every level, including the ex-guys that have coaching in NHL. And I just think, talking with everybody here and kind of getting my finger on the pulse the last 3 weeks, that we need somebody that's been in this chair before that has coached in the NHL. So
he wants experience.
Here's the deal.
Yeah.
Todd McClellan is not Mike Babcock. Please don't twist that all up. He worked with Mike. He won with Mike. He's a totally different person. People I talk to who know him personally, played for him. I'm telling you, there are guys that love playing for him. And I'm just telling you right now, what we don't do is we don't put anything on the players anymore. Like either the coach sucks or he's great. There's no middle ground to leave room for, maybe the players had something to do with them not achieving success. Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird to me. All I'm saying is if they get this guy, if they do, mm-hmm. I feel like it's a home run hire for from a person standpoint, from a coaching standpoint, from a guy who's no nonsense, a guy who's direct, a guy that cares, a guy that's going to make his guys practice and accountability, structure, not tell you what to do, but why you're doing it also. Like, I just think he's got a lot there, and I think sometimes the retreads, by the way, we see it in college basketball all the time. CB can weigh in on that. Like, these guys get recycled and recycled and recycled.
It's every sport.
Yeah.
It's every single sport. I mean, NBA, NFL, college football, college basketball, to your point, it's what happens. You want guys that have been there, done that, and if they've had a few bumps in the road, but maybe some good things along the way, you're hoping that those guys have adjusted to some of the downs in their career and they can come out on the other side with some good things. You know, I was reading up on him last night, and a lot of things that you mentioned seem to be very true, and he seems to be a guy that has a good mind for defense and that end of the ice, which we know has been a major issue for our Jackets the last couple of seasons. So there's some momentum behind it, and as we know, like, even if they do name him the head coach, there's still so much to figure out when it comes to this hockey club this offseason, and what the heck's going on with Line A, and what can they get for him if they do pull the trigger on the trade, on a trade. Same thing can be said for Elvis and what is going to happen with him in net with that contract and the money that's still on the books for the next few seasons. So we knew this was going to be a big summer for the Jackets. It's going to continue into this weekend with the draft and beyond that, but you just have to hope. And I think for a lot of Jacket fans that you're just done moving pieces on the board, it seems like every year or every other year, and that you can get players on the ice that give you good runway with positive things coming up on the scoreboard. And then from the front office down, familiar names, familiar voices, right, that are going to do their thing as well. There's just been too much change. And when you have a whole bunch of change, that prevents you from having consistency.
So there's a lot there, and I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I also feel like Waddell is in a little bit of issue now with these depreciating assets that the Jackets have. I think that's very real. I think the PLD trade certainly set this all in motion, and guess who just got dealt again? PLD.
Yeah.
So when you have a 6'4", 225-pound centerman getting traded a lot, maybe don't ask about the coach. Maybe ask about the player.
Talk to him.
Keeps getting moved. Now, we understand that they didn't have to move him right away. They didn't have to panic trade him. They did. Roslovic and Line A at the time on paper were good. Roslovic now is gone for nothing. Patrick's going to be gone for next to nothing. What's that, a C-plus package at best if someone's going to take him? Sometimes you wait for a home run trade. Like, I'm trying to think. When Duchesne got moved originally, like, they didn't have to do that. PLD had no rights. He was a restricted free agent. Like, it was too rushed. And I think Torts would have handled him fine, right? You don't want to play, you sit. I mean, sometimes when you panic and you move guys out, I just feel like Waddell's got a situation now where he's got to make some tough decisions. And I don't even know if the tough decisions can be made based on these contracts that seem to be so heavy weighted, not in our favor. So it'll be interesting to see what he does and to get him back to be competitive. I think CB threw that out like a month or maybe a couple of weeks ago, our over-under on them making the playoffs. And I think you and I both had the over on 2.5 years. And so
it's going to be a while.
Yeah,
and I think they should,
if they
can. I'm team tear it down as much as you can and just start over. I know the contract stuff is real and maybe there's not going to be any takers on that because that's just the business side of that. And that stuff is something that a hurdle that you got to hope to overcome. But that's where I'm at. Just team tear it down. Hand this thing over to the young guys. Let them grow and see where you're at. I was looking at some of the odds for next year. I mean, they have the second worst odds to win the cup. So Vegas is telling us that this is going to be an uphill climb. And
cup.
Hopefully,
well, I'm just saying, win a game.
No, I'm just trying to paint the picture a little bit.
Doing, you know, my who am I doing there?
You're Allen Iverson?
Playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping we can win a game.
Yeah. So, it seems like we're up against it for a little bit of time, but that's where you bring Don Waddell in and maybe an experienced coach that can maybe fast track that just a little bit.
Oh, it's Jim Mora. I couldn't think.
Playoffs?
It's probably. Are you kidding me? I just hope we can win a game.
Yeah. I don't know why I thought AI is practice.
That's practice. We're talking about practice. But I think one of my favorite one is that when someone, and it's the way he said it too.
Playoffs.
Yeah. Playoffs. Right. But the rest of the quote is actually really good because he's like, I just hope we can win a game. I mean, it really is amazing. That is probably, we need to get the long version. I think the long version might be worth playing. All right. So there's that. But anyway, that was the response. Now, some people were like, guys, really, I always thought he was a really good coach, and let's see if they can get him. I think it'd be a fantastic hire. But it's not like you guarantee anything, right? The coach can only guarantee so much.
Aaron, like, what do I always tell you? Twitter's not real. It's you don't need to be going to the Twitter streets to find realistic.
Twitter.
Yeah. I mean, come on. You can't please everybody. You know how Twitter works.
Pre-snap reads coming up next, and we've got a little confirmation, Maddie, of what we know about the negotiations with a certain quarterback. You'll hear it next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
There's nothing Bo Bishop can't do well, except find competent co-hosts. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
And Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by the Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
All right, so we've talked about Tua Tagovailoa, and we will in a moment, but Maddie's going to get after something.
Yeah, let me talk to you like LA Knight says, because at Bet365, we don't do ordinary, and you can see for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Hey, I'm not messing around today. I talked about this man earlier in the program, the greatness of Jose Ramirez. I'm starting the campaign for him to be the most valuable player in the AL this year. We're going for another dinger tonight. Guardians have already won the series. They're looking to bring the brooms out tonight on the O's. Give me that plus 425 juice on an anytime dinger for Jose.
I want to do something with the draft. By the way, won the bet yesterday with Lugo.
There we go.
But I think it's dangerous in trying to predict the exact pick. And I know that Bet365 has those. Like, we know Atlanta's going one. We know Washington's going two. We know Houston's going three. Now, Houston, don't you feel like they are going to take that college kid right there?
Like, which one, Shepard?
Well, I said Reed Shepard. I think you said Klingon. Here's the value. So Reed is the favorite, actually. Klingon's at plus 200.
Well, I thought Klingon would go to maybe to Atlanta, not Houston. You're talking about the Rockets.
You have Klingon going number one?
Maybe.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't know. Nobody knows what's going on in the draft. That's why we're bringing on Kevin Sweeney at the bottom.
So should we wait on that? Should I wait and hear from him? Because I feel like there is value here on starting at like the number three pick. And then they offer, by the way, you go to Bet365, they'll offer you three pick, four pick, five pick, all the way through. And you try to find some value there. I'll wait to talk with him.
But the favorite on the board at three is
Shepard. Number three is Shepard.
I like that. Yeah. He's a sniper, man.
Especially
I think he could be a good
player. If some foreigners go early.
Yeah, it seems like
which they're supposed to.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Bet365 is the official sports betting partner of the best team in baseball right now, and that is the Cleveland Guardians. At least their record tells us
CB that. Switched already.
We'll get to
City Connect, the Reds, or whatever he's wearing.
Yeah, we welcomed him in. Download the Bet365 app today. 21 plus only. You must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
And may the odds be ever in your favor.
The extension for Tua Tagovailoa is not like the pressing matter right now in Miami.
What right? else is?
Clearing cap space. I know you don't think that's real, but
the cap be capping.
I mean, you got to be compliant, Maddie. Be compliant. Let's get under that. So the extension is certainly the biggest deal headline-wise. And so now you got this lucrative extension that could be out there, and you and I have talked about it. He has now officially shed whatever bust label was there coming in, whether it was injury related or whatever. I think he's okay there. Mm-hmm. They've been in contract talks with Tua since the end of last season. Mm-hmm. And Chris Greer, who's the GM, told reporters at the Combine there's no timeline to get it done and all that. And we'll find out. Darlington did talk about this and talked about the negotiations of it and if they can strike a deal.
But right now, there's five words that are looming over this contract negotiation, and they're the words that came out of Tua's mouth. The market is the market. He said that after Jared Goff had signed his deal and before Trevor Lawrence signed his. The complicated part of this is the Dolphins could point at that Jared Goff deal and say, well, we're not the Detroit Lions. We're not making that decision. But when Trevor Lawrence then leapfrogs it, you've got a situation, because right now, the Dolphins are not offering the contract that is the market value based on those other deals that were done. So if this gets there, it's just going to require more negotiations. And we're not to panic point just yet. I just think that my optimism earlier has to be slightly scaled back at this point, given all of those factors currently in play.
Jeff, real quick, bud. So when you say the Dolphins right now aren't offering what the market of those other, are we talking Jared Goff, Trevor Lawrence type of market?
Yes, yes, that is the market. I don't want to get too far into the nuance of numbers because, quite frankly, I don't know them. But based on my conversations, they are not in the Jared Goff and Trevor Lawrence ballpark. And that, to me, speaks volumes about where the negotiations are right now. Again, though, keyword, negotiations. We all know. We've all been through them. We know that it can change in a minute.
It's the price of doing business. It's tough. Maddie, sorry to interrupt you. I was just going to say that... he's going to be the highest paid Dolphin in history.
Yes,
he will
no
be.
Question.
It's just how much. Because there's nobody listening, I don't believe, will tell you that Tua Tagovailoa is as good as Joe Burrow.
No.
They won't, and they shouldn't.
And I agree.
So he really doesn't deserve to be paid that kind of money. He doesn't deserve $55 million a year.
I don't think it'll be that. But Tua's sitting back and looking at the market, and he's taking a page from Fat Joe, one of the most famous rappers of all time, and this is what he's saying.
Yesterday's price is not today's price. Yesterday's price is not today's price.
So he's going into Chris Greer's office and saying that and saying the market is the market, Chris. And this contract better start with a five in front of it when we talk about AAV, which I think it will, AR. But I think the holdup in this situation might be on the front office's side of things, them trying to protect themselves. And I would not be surprised if the word incentives is being thrown around a lot in his contract.
They'll have to guarantee a ton of money, though.
You would think so, but I think based off of his history, both in the NFL and at the collegiate level, they're going to want to protect themselves, and I think maybe that's where some of the static between both parties is happening right now, because Tua is saying, well, wait a minute, I'm not signing that deal. No other quarterback signing a deal like that. So I'm not going to do it either. And I just showed you guys last year that I can play in every game. And when I played in every game, I was very productive. I led the league in passing yards. So, yeah, it's a funky situation down there. But for Tua, I kind of feel for him because I don't know what else he can do after what he did last year.
Yes. A couple things there. One, when you said I feel for him, all I was thinking of, I feel for you by Shaka Khan.
Okay.
The other thing that I was thinking of is that CB probably would have preferred to play draft day, which is we live in a different world than we did 30 seconds ago. He might even like that one more than the Fat
you
Joe.
You got beef with my boy Fat Joe?
No, I don't, but the draft day is his favorite flick.
He does.
And so, but listen, do I think he's earned the right to get paid a lot more than $23 million? Yes.
Double it.
Do I think he's fine?
Double it and then some more. I knew you were going to like that. I'm so excited. I don't have to get him to 50.
46. Yeah. Done.
No way. You're not going to have a quarterback then.
Well, let him hold out then.
Okay. How good's your team going to be?
Not great. Mike White, you're in. We have no more reserves. All right. That's your pre-snap for today. Kevin Sweeney, NBA draft guru. He's going to jump on next. And maybe I'll get a prediction out of him on where we can put some dollars for the draft. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Wake up with the Fan. Eat lunch with the Fan. Go to bed with the Fan. Dream about the Fan. Then change your sheets. Gross.
Ew, you guys are gross. But stick around in case I don't find anyone else.
The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's nothing like ripping off your pants and enjoying some lobster bisque. This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, a little NBA draft time. with our friend Kevin Sweeney, SI Now, and it's one of those confusing drafts. You know, you get some foreigners at the top. Which college guys are the picks to click? Who are the Cavs taking at 20? We'll ask him now. Cav, welcome back. How you been?
Good, man. Appreciate you guys having me.
Thank you. We talked about this early in the show. First college player taken. Let's presume that maybe a foreigner goes first or second. We threw out Reed Sheppard. We've thrown out Klingon. We've thrown out Castle. Where do you stand on first college player taken?
Yeah, those are the three big ones, I think. And realistically, probably that third selection, which is Houston's pick. Now, Houston has made it known they could be active in trade talks. It'll be interesting to see if someone tries to move up and take that pick from Houston. Or if Houston uses that pick to get a veteran player, as they try to push towards contention. I think Sheppard is the most likely pick, assuming Houston stays there, but Klingon has at least entered that conversation, and I think Castle's very strong at four to San Antonio if he has an off the board first.
Interesting. Okay, nice. I want to ask you about a guy we watched a lot in our neck of the woods, and that's Zach Edey, and your feel for his draft range and also – what type of fit do you think he's going to be in the NBA?
I'm a Zach Edey believer. I really think when you watch the film and you kind of ditch the preconceived notions about, oh, he's so big, oh, he's not mobile enough, you really just watch what he does on the basketball floor. It's hard to not feel like he can find a way to impact the game in the NBA. He's so physical. He's a great rebounder. He has great hands. He's a better rim protector, and I think will look better in that mold in the NBA when he can gamble more. Look, at Purdue, he had to stay on the floor. He couldn't foul. He had to be very, very conservative. I think in the NBA, in a more defined role, he'll be able to be more aggressive defensively. His mobility and agility testing was better than Donovan Klingon's out of UConn. And obviously, Klingon talked about as, a special, special defensive prospect. I buy all that. But I think Edey has a lot of the same potential. I think he will outperform his draft position. I think he'll be picked earliest range, probably 9 or 10 at the back end of the top 10. The floor probably in the early 20s. Realistically, probably in that 15 to 18, 15 to 19 range. But I think it'd be a shock if he fell past 24 or 25, which is the Knicks' two picks right now. The Knicks need a center. I think that's the floor for Zach Edey.
Kevin Sweeney, our guest, NBA draft and a lot more for SI Now. He's on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. I know these are two different thoughts, Kevin, where Bronny deserves to get picked and where he will get picked or picked at all are certainly the three windows. Which curtain are you pulling back? Does he get reach? Does somebody reach? Do the Lakers reach? Does he fall where he's supposed to fall, or does he fall even below that?
Look, I think he'll get drafted by the Lakers at 55 in the second round tomorrow night. I think realistically, that's where the risk and reward makes sense. For Los Angeles, keeping LeBron, the most important thing they can do this offseason, drafting Bronny gives them an opportunity to do that. At 55, look, lots of second-round picks are used on stash guys overseas. They're sold for cash. They're put on two-way contracts. The idea that everyone's getting an impact player in the second round is probably not based in reality. And so if you're the Lakers, it's not the worst bet in the world to take Bronny. I do think there's some potential there. I won't rule out him having a successful NBA career. Everything that could go wrong did for him at USC. Obviously, the cardiac incident that took away his summer and fall. He was in a situation with guards that really didn't make each other better. It was a pretty toxic locker room that really went down in flames down the stretch. Really disappointing. One of the worst, one of the bigger disappointments of college basketball a year ago. I think with time to develop, he can carve out a skill set that has a shot in the league. But obviously, an uphill battle for him as a short guard who's really not a true point guard. Those guys usually have a tough time sticking in the league.
So the Cleveland Cavaliers found their new coach in Kenny Atkinson, and now they'll be on the board picking at 20 tonight. Down in that range, and based off of what you understand about where the Cavs currently are right now with their roster, what could they be looking at as far as maybe players on the board then?
Yeah, I think the good thing about this draft is it's not any less deep than normal. I think there's so much narrative. Oh, how this is a bad draft. There's no star power, but I think in the 20s you're going to be able to get a good player. The question is, are you trying to swing big on a long term piece? I like Bub Carrington from Pitt is a guy that I think is a huge potential. And if he's there around 20, I'd be really, really interested in. Or are you hunting a role player, right? Whether that's, you know, Jared McCain from Duke, who's just a phenomenal shooter and high-level competitor, Tyler Kolek from Marquette, who could be, you know, a rotation guard and really share the basketball. You know, up front, Kyle Filipowski, someone whose offensive skill set I think has drawn a lot of interest around the league. So I think there's a good mix of options here for Cleveland, and we'll see how it shakes out. But I actually like the range they're picking in. If I was a GM and I had to pick an area of the draft to draft it in this draft, I might take the late teens, early 20s, because opportunity to get a good player and not have to burden them with all the expectations of being a top 5, top 10 pick that maybe they can't achieve long term.
Which one of those guys you mentioned you think has the biggest upside for the Cavs? Like, would they lean more towards like risking high ceiling, maybe lower floor? Is there one of those guys that you feel at 20 Cleveland might go for upside?
Yeah, I think Johnny Furphy from Kansas is a name that makes a lot of sense from the kind of upside swing. The guy who last summer was still playing AAU basketball, was expected to be a 2024 high school recruit, really didn't have a lot of interest. He was coming over from Australia and just absolutely exploded at an NBA Academy event and really became one of the program's great successes. Turned into a starter and a really good freshman at Kansas. And I think whenever you can draft someone who's just on such a meteoric development curve, it's really a good bet. And first, he's got a skill set as a bigger wing you can shoot that – you know, should allow him to play in NBA games right away, which the Cavs could obviously use, but also the upside of here's a young guy who's clearly still getting better, has the kind of frame and the skill level to really be a good pro down the line. I think that's the type of pick I'd be hunting if I were the Cavs.
Zooming out from this year's draft and kind of taking a peek around the corner, like, what do we need to know about Cooper Flagg at this point next year? I know he's going to Duke, so we'll see a lot of him on TV, but does he have number one pick written all over him, in your opinion, for next year's draft?
I think he's the leader in the clubhouse as of now. Obviously things can change. He's an exciting prospect. I mean, first, it's great as a college basketball guy to have, a clear number one type pick in the college game. Again, it's been a couple of years, and he is a really, really special, unique talent because he's 6'8", 6'9". He can really, really pass and play make and kind of run your offense in ways, but also be a force on the defensive end, block shots, switch defensively, guard pretty much every position. His 3-point shot has improved. Like, I think it'll be interesting to see, does he have like that consistent all-star level, or will he be just one of the best, you know, best third or fourth stars in the NBA, if you will? But I think he is a really, really unique prospect, and right now I think the number one pick in 25 as things stand.
Kev, great stuff, man. Enjoy the draft. Thanks for the insight. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, fellas.
Thank you. He was on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fangus Hotline. During the break, I was walking out there, and on the TV popped Denise Richards, Charlie Sheen's ex-wife. Mm. And I looked at Maddie, and I said, I wonder what he was making per episode at the height of 2.5 Men. And I guessed very high, but I wasn't even high enough.
So per episode,
what he started at when they built the show around him, he earned about $800,000 an episode.
That's ridiculous.
Where it ended.
Let me guess. Per episode. Let's go $2.5 million.
Not quite. On this, it says 1.8.
That's good living, man.
And remember, there are commercials in that half an hour show.
Are we talking half? That was going to be my question. 30-minute episode.
So I started thinking this. If your contract that I jumped on, I'll take it, the Tua, when you said double the 23 to 46, I just divided 46 million by 17 games. And got to 2.7.
Mm.
So what Charlie Sheen made per half an hour episode, you could say was a lot more than what a $46 million quarterback would make over a 60-minute football game. Now, he's not on the field, but he's there, and he's paying attention.
That's
like, think about that for a second.
Mind-blowing. For a 30-minute episode, you're bringing in $1 million.
That's $1.8 million. You know, at the highest.
Short change in the man.
Exactly. It's closer to two. All right, we'll come back. Tell the truth next. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
Bobby Carpenter doesn't have a mullet, but he's knee-deep in mullet energy. Morning Juice with Bobby and Beamer.
Weekdays starting at 6.
The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Tell the truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Twin Peaks. Experience the Sports Lodge mentality.
All right, CB, take us home.
All right, not a great day for National Day of Today, so I will use from tomorrow because there's quite a few I can use, but won't get to all of them tomorrow. Let's do National Sunglasses Day. That is on the 27th. My question is, tell the truth, which brand of sunglasses is the best?
What do you mean today's not a good day? CB, you're a sunglasses inside type of guy. Rain
no,
or shine,
I meant like the really options for National Day of Today for today were not great.
Man, favorite brand is, you can't go wrong with the Ray-Bans. Yeah, I mean, you know, they got a nice variety, a great variety of sunglasses there. You know, a brand that I really like, and CB, because I don't have AR's bank account, I can't afford them, is the Cartier frames. I don't got AR's bank account, so I can't afford those just yet, but I do love the look.
You
ain't
lying.
I'll go Ray-Ban and Cartier frames.
If you bought them for me, I wouldn't wear them. Just not me.
Re-gift them? Give them to Mad Max. He'd rock them. What up, Mad Max?
Probably would.
Well, what you could do is you could swap them for the PS5.
Oh, no, that's right. I'm still waiting on the PS5 because I need. I saw CB show me the new EA Sports trailer that was narrated by Herbie. Oh my goodness! Hours lost in life playing that. Coming up,
yeah,
it's gonna be amazing. Where are you at?
Oakley? So I'm an Oakley guy. Hey. You know that, and I feel like if money were no object, and I think they're a lot more expensive. The lenses, I believe, of Maui Jims are unbelievably great. I don't love their frames, though.
Maui Jim.
Yeah, I don't love their frames, but I think the lenses are of the best you could get.
Okay.
But no, I think Oakley checks most of the boxes for me, and I usually am capable of hanging on to them for a decent amount of time. So
what's a decent amount of talking? 3 years?
I mean,
years?
I've had my current sunglasses. I thought I lost them the other day. Remember, I did find them. And so I would know I probably had my current sunglasses for at least 5 years.
Good run.
Yeah. No scratch.
Find out right now today is true.
All right. It's rumor season in the NBA. I saw one out there that the Warriors want to get in on the Paul George trade sweepstakes. Well, it's possible, but my question to you is, tell the truth. Would the Warriors become a contender in the West if they acquired George?
Clay Stein?
Doesn't feel like a big dog. It feels like that relationship's been soured a little bit since Steve Kerr put him on the bench last year.
I got to tell you, I mean, I think that George and Curry would be incredible tandem. I really do. There go the nuts. Oh, what are those?
On the air?
No, I'm just saying, I thought maybe you just knocked them off. Oh, I didn't know you were eating.
Bad. You would have heard an expletive
if I
dropped
these on
the way
you reacted,
them.
I thought maybe you had to save something. Okay.
No.
I'd say, yeah. I say he can take over a game. I'm just trying to picture him with Steph, and that sounds pretty awesome.
Man,
I like that.
I'm with you, man. Yeah. I'm absolutely with you. And you talk about Steph and Paul George. How about pairing Paul George's defense with Draymond's defense and those guys running around being menaces on that end of the floor? CB, if they did, let's say this is like a sign-and-trade situation, it'd be interesting to see what they would give up. I don't even know if the Clippers would want to trade with a Western Conference foe in that way. So maybe we're going to find out where Paul George is at. He's got to opt out, I believe, by Friday. He and LeBron have a decision to make, so that'll be interesting to see what happens there. But, yeah, if they can get Paul George in a Warrior uniform with Steph, with Draymond and Kuminga and Pods and some of those young guys still in the mix there, yeah, I could see them getting right there towards the top of the Western Conference next year.
All right, EA Sports, as we just mentioned, are revealing some different elements to their game this week. Yesterday, they brought out the top 10 toughest places to play. We can get in that list tomorrow, but I do want to say for the fan poll, Ohio State ended up being at number 4 in the top 10 toughest places to play at. But the question is, where do you rank Ohio Stadium across college football in your own difficulty rankings for opponents to play in?
Based off of my NCAA experience, just playing the video game, they're in the top 5. The crowd will get rocking there. Like, I just need to check boxes in the bucket on my bucket list. Like, I need to get down to the swamp. I need to get out to Eugene. Like, I need to do some of those, man. I'm getting at that point to where, you know, I don't know if I can, though, with our schedule, but I want to do it.
The charter with CB this year.
I will say, because we went to Wisconsin for the first time, my first time last year, there was a lot of upset Wisconsin fans because I think they were at 7 on this list. And while I agree, Jump Around was a great environment. Yeah. I have a video of it. It was surreal. Yeah. You feel like the stadium's going to fall apart. But outside of that moment, it's not really a top 5 venue. It just doesn't get that super loud.
Okay. You know what? By the way, how was Notre Dame last?
That was incredible. Okay. So I think it might just because of the night factor, yeah. But the students were on the opposite side of the box.
I'm curious what that's like too. When,
but yeah, it's crazy.
I'm curious what it's like when the Scarlet and Gray isn't coming out of the opposing tunnel too, at South Bend.
When you talk about the toughest places to play in college football, you match it with that team, right? If you get a, I don't know, I'm trying to think of Clemson, perfect. If you got a Clemson team that's a national contender, mm-hmm. that memorial is unreal. Like, I can't even imagine what that feels like when they're going down that hill. You get a team that's beatable, then the atmosphere becomes beatable. And I think that we've seen teams come in here. We saw Oregon come in here and beat Ohio State. It doesn't happen often, but it's happened. Obviously, we've seen Michigan do it. But that's why if I put, like, A&M up there or LSU, those are inherently very tough places. Honestly, the place that in my mind feels like it should be ranked higher is probably Beaver Stadium at Penn State. Like, it just with the whole roar and the whole, like, that to me, especially in a whiteout, feels like where were they ranked?
I think they were just a little bit lower than they were one ahead of Ohio State, I believe. I think they were at 3 and Ohio State was
really
at 4.
Okay, well, they're probably rightfully ranked. I thought maybe they would be lower.
And what's really weird is the last time Ohio State was out there, it was a big noon game. It got loud, but it didn't meet maybe expectations because it wasn't the night game. It wasn't the whiteout.
Why would you worry?
Real quick, final one here. Carmen's crew, they announced that they are coming back. If I could give you the opportunity to add one former Buckeye of your choosing to this list, who are you choosing?
D'Angelo Russell. They'd win the whole thing.
Are they? Can't have a...
You say yes?
What's the criteria,
though? Criteria is any former Buckeye. It does not matter.
D'Angelo Russell.
You mean in their prime?
You can do that, too.
He's in his prime right now. D'Lo.
I was going to say full health, Greg Oden.
Oh.
Just full health, 100%. Wait, you know, I just think that is such, that just checks so many boxes for me, from an intimidation on the defensive end to the force offensively. So I'll say the Big O.
And the truth shall set you free.
Oscar Robertson might be coming
As soon as I said it, I agree.
If you ever missed anything throughout the show, wherever you get your podcast, type in Rothman and Ice and everything, we'll be there waiting for you.
All right, Con Man and T-Bone up next. The little name dropping with the rims today at 5:34, so stay tuned. We'll step aside, talk to you tomorrow at noon. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Big Voice Guy here to remind you that you're listening to The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Okay, thanks. I have 3 more seconds. Bye-bye. This is a Fan Action Update.
You curious who the best team in Major League Baseball is right now? It's the Cleveland Guardians. Best win percentage and 7 wins in a row right now for Cleveland. The Guards look to make it 8 in a row today as a big underdog. They're plus 150 on the money line against Baltimore with an over-under run total of 9.5. Jose Ramirez is 4-1 to hit a home run today. For your Action Update, I'm Scotty Vegas.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Casting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit LindsayHonda.com.
WBNSFM HD1 Columbus.
The Fan. Sports.
Center.
Good afternoon. I'm Paul Keels. The struggle's continuing for the Cincinnati Reds in the seventh inning at Great American Ballpark. They trail Pittsburgh 6-1. Reds have dropped 7 of their last 10 going into the game. Meanwhile, the Cleveland Guardians have won 7 in a row and now have a 9-game lead in the American League Central. Continue their series in Baltimore tonight. Carlos Carrasco pitching for the Guardians. Grayson Rodriguez for the Orioles. Columbus Clippers continue their home series tonight against Omaha at Huntington Park. First round of the NBA draft with the tonight with the Atlanta Hawks holding the first pick. The Cleveland Cavaliers select 20th. Hockey Hall of Famer Glenn Sather announcing his retirement after a lengthy career spanning 6 decades. He most notably was a head coach of the 5 Edmonton Oilers teams that won Stanley Cup titles. This update brought to you by Nature Stone. Schedule your free cost estimate today at naturestone.com. It's not just a floor. Wow. It's Nature Stone. Breaking sports news when it happens on the Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.